Good evening and welcome to the October 13th, 2010 Board of Directors meeting of the Oceano Community Services District. Roll call, please.
Vice President Dean.
Here.
Director Hill.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Lucy.
Here.
President Dahl.
Here. If you'd all please stand and join me in the flag salute. Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This brings us to item number 3, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item not on the agenda. There will be time later in the evening to address the board on agenda items. So if there's anybody who'd like to address the board at this time, please come forward. And please state your name and city of residence for us.
Pardon me. Ladies and gentlemen, Zeke Turley, AGP Video.
More water is going through the new meter than the old one. Is it going to amount to another $20 a month? Which would put your bill up to about $150 a month. Now, can you afford it? I can't. I don't make that kind of money. So if these gentlemen here are getting into your pockets, I would like you as a board not to raise the water rates until the new meters get in, and you'll find out how much more the new meters are going to add to your bill, plus what these fellows are going to put on us. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
So I'd appreciate it, and I'm sure the people of Oceano would appreciate it if you didn't raise the water bill until all the new meters in and you find out what the new meters are going to read. You may not have to raise the water bill with new meters in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good point. Actually, made all the sense.
Hello, I'm Terry Sweetland. I live on McCarthy. I heard about the water increase and or the possibility of a rate increase, and what the first thing that popped in my mind was an old saying. In order to know where you're going, you have to know where you're at. So I would think it would be prudent that you get your books audited first. If the ones from 09 audit's not in, from what I understand, and the 10 audit's not in, a lot of paperwork's not in, yet you're going to consider raising rates. Doesn't sound logical to me. It's not a good business practice. Second, I heard that the board didn't want to submit the PM10 study by the AQMD or endorse it or something like that. I live on the south side of McCarthy, of Pier Avenue. That's McCarthy. We are in dust all the time. You can stand at the kiosk and watch it go over us. The people have the luxury of being on the north side, like some of the businesses here, don't get any dust, so they don't care. On my street alone, two people have come down with COPD. One person has died after 17 years from lung-affected ailment from the dust. And two more people have been diagnosed with possible COPD out of 30 people on one street. It's no longer an environmental issue. It's a health issue. I mean, it's no longer... Some people in this residence or neighborhood have been wanting to close it down because of personal reasons, the OHV and all that stuff. Okay, we've got to somehow keep Pier Avenue clean. The contractors that the county's hires to do it do a dismal job. The state is coming out and doing the beach area 100 feet up to Strand almost every morning, and they do a good job. But our county contractors do a lousy job, and they do it once a week, and they only do the middle lane to keep the white line or the middle line visible. The rest of the side lanes are constantly 2 inches of sand, constantly full of sand. And it just is a token effect. So at least you can try to get the county to do that for us almost on a daily basis, and maybe we can wait after this long study is over and they'll come to the right decision. But we've got like a 7-year dragging your feet on this in committee, in study, before we'll find out anything. So I think it's very disgraceful that some members on this committee might look at personal income as a way of over the health of the citizens. Well, I don't know how to phrase it, but anyway, if you're going to be on a, if you're going to represent us, you have to look out for our health, not your own pocketbook. And that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board at this time?
Nina Grabiel, Oceana. Well, I got a few things to announce. First of all, there was a meeting last night with the County Planning Department over at the South County Regional Center. I attended. And, you know, I don't understand why this public was not informed. It was announced at the Oceana Advisory Committee meeting. And apparently that information was not relayed back to this board or to the people of Oceana. So the attendance was really dismal. There was probably maybe 8 people out of the entire 5 cities area who attended, besides the county staff. So that's fraud. Then also at the end of the meeting, and actually come to find out, I went back and I asked one of the people who had suggested, one of the county staff who had suggested at the end of the meeting, and they put this on their board, to have in home inspections, energy audit and home inspections. Well, that's the county's idea, but they're going to think that's the people's idea. And when I went back, I asked her if she lived in the county. She said no. She said she lived in San Luis City. I said, so you're not a stakeholder? She said, no. I said, well, then you have no business saying anything at this meeting. but anyway, so I don't know. I think people need to start paying attention to these all these different meetings that are going on. The county's going to have a few more of them. They're going to have some in North County. They're going to have some with, just with contractors. And I think, you know, people should pay attention to what's going on, because we have not only the county putting their fees on us, we have the state putting fees on us. And I want to encourage people to vote yes on Proposition 23, which will put a stay on the implementation of AB 32 until we have unemployment in California back down to like 5.5%, which I think seems reasonable, because if you look at all the, and actually even then we still have the state has passed Senate Bill 375, which basically puts a lot of fees on a lot of just about everything anyway. I mean, we're talking about water, electricity, gasoline, gas. I mean, everything is going to have a fee attached to it. So the cost of living in California is going to go through the roof if people don't pay attention and put the brakes on all this stuff. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board at this time? We're in public comment.
Could I ask for one quick thing? When you discuss the water rates or new water bills, I noticed that there's a minimum amount that we're charged every month, and I never know what that is. I can't seem to get a direct answer. I think if you're going to raise the rates, could you lower the minimum so people could try to save and maybe possibly get below that rate? Because I know many times I've been below the minimum. So, thank you.
You've asked at the district and they won't give you an answer as to what the minimum is?
Nobody seems to know. But you've had a lot of staff at the counter change, so maybe it's I came in at the wrong time. I think it's 6 units, but I'm not sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you get that information out to the gentleman?
Just 1 second. 6. Yes, the minimum is 6 units. I knew it was 6 or 7, but I wanted to check to make sure, and it's 6.
And the dollar amount on that?
$23.95.
Okay. Anyone else like to address the board at this time?
Hi, everyone. My name is Jaleesa Hernandez. I'm with the Zimmerman campaign, with Mike Zimmerman campaign. He's running for 4th District Supervisor. I just wanted to say good evening. Sorry I'm late. I'm very happy that there's still time for public comment. Just briefly, I wanted to just invite you all to a meet and greet that we're going to be having this Saturday, October 16th, over at the depot. At the Oceano Depot, and we're going to have a hot dog lunch. We're going to have hot dogs, chips, and drink, and it's just an opportunity for the public to meet Mike Zimmerman, and I'd like for all of you to come too. I think it would be a great opportunity for the public to come and meet you in a really informal setting, and it's going to be from 11 to 2 o'clock. And I have some flyers. Is it okay for me to, can I hand this out to you, or is there somebody that I could give this to who maybe later could hand this over to you?
Just leave it with the staff right there. We'll get it.
Right here. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else like to address the board at this time? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 4, board member items for comment. Who wants to start? You want to start, Ella?
Yes, this afternoon I attended the presentation of the Five Cities Fire Authority, which was a final significance for us, because we now are a Five Cities Fire Authority with Oceano, Grover Beach, and Arroyo Grande. What I found interesting, I'm very proud to see all the young people there and all the firefighters being pinned, the fire captains and fire engineers. It was a good thing.
Thank you. Director Hill?
I also attended the badging ceremony for the Five Cities Fire Authority as the Director Angelo. And
I also attended the meeting of the Five Cities Fire Authority, as did Director Angelo and Councilman Bill Nichols from Grover Beach, who's with us today. And it was a very impressive ceremony. The Chief Doug Hamp, Chief Terry Fidlick were there. A lot of people who have brought this forward over the years as part of the original joining of the Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande departments, and then with the final consolidation with the Oceano Fire Department. And it was great. There was good spirits, a can-do attitude. The quality of our fire service here is improving. It's started out with the leadership of the chiefs, Chief Mike Hubert, and has just been on an upward slope. All of us have benefited from that. The fire departments are very dedicated. They're working together with a spirit of cooperation that's just really good to see. And it benefits every one of us here and all of the neighbor communities. So thank a firefighter. They're doing a great job for us.
Okay. Thank you. Director Angelo?
Pretty much I ditto everything that was said, because I attended also. And I did have questions and answers and things. I was also at the green meeting for the ordinances that are proposed with Nina, and it was pretty empty. I think there was 7 people in the audience total. Majority of the people that spoke and put up their ideas and references were county staff. So whatever they come up with out of that meeting is going to be purely their input only. They had this little thing of handing you dots, 5 green dots and 1 red one. So if you wanted those specific issues you were in favor of, then you were to put green dots on it. But however, they only gave you 1 red dot. So needless to say, it was pretty much slided to one side, and I don't believe it had real public input. So I would encourage everybody to attend the next meetings. The next one is next week, and it's going to be for developers and investors. But you are also welcome to go as the public, and I would strongly ask people to go. It's important because you're going to get a lot of things that are going to change your way of living if you don't keep in touch with it.
Okay, thank you, Mary Lucy.
I don't have anything to report on the fire department, but I can report that they pulled 33 miners out of the Chichilian mines today, and I think that that is really great news, and we should take notice of that.
Okay. Any public comment on the board member items for comment? Okay, bring it back to the board. On to item number 5, review and approval of the minutes, September 22nd minutes. Any changes or additions from staff?
We have none, sir.
Okay, any public comment on the minutes? Okay, any changes or amendments from the board?
President Dahl, I just have a question on the agenda. Can we build a break in, since we usually take a break about 90 minutes into it? Is it possible we could build a break into it?
Yeah, I'll try to take a break around 8 o'clock.
And then at what point do you want for next agenda items? Because I would like to have something added to the next agenda.
Presently on the agenda for next agenda item would be item 14, but the president has the pleasure of moving the items up or down on the agenda.
Okay, and then since we're in litigation and the litigation keeps kind of like moving around, is that a closed session issue? Or, because I'd actually like to talk about it in public, so, but does it have to be a closed session? Because we do have...
I can check
Dean,
with...
Dean versus Doceana.
Second.
Second.
I did not attend, so I won't be voting on that.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries 4-0. One abstained. Okay, this takes us on to item number 6.
Item 6, Honorable President, will be pulled. The sheriff is on vacation today, and I didn't know that when I prepared the agenda, but I found out earlier this week that he was going to be on vacation. So there's no item 6.
Okay. On to item number 7, cash disbursements. Recommend approval of the bills as submitted. Any changes, additions since the printing of the agenda?
No, sir. There's been no additions or corrections to the cash disbursements since the agenda was printed, and the numbers are the same, and the checks and the vouchers and everything match. So I would entertain, if anyone has any questions. The only one that I wanted to share with the board and the public is we have a cash disbursement recommendation for $1,113.54, and it's to a company called Technoflow Systems in Porterville, California. And the reason I wanted to share that with everyone is because I was very pleased. The staff at the water yard found this business, and they're one of the few left that rebuilds large meters. So we did all the work on our end here. We took apart our largest meter, which is on well 8, and it's an 8-inch meter. And we sent it there, so it only cost us $18 to send a UPS. And they rebuilt it, and on the list is all the additions and what they did to rebuild it. and including the tax, we got it back for $1,113.54. So a new 8-inch meter would be, you know, like way over $6,000. So I wanted to, it's a new bill. We haven't paid it before, and I wanted to call to people's attention that it looks like a $1,100 expenditure, what it is, but the economist to me says, I'm glad it's over a $4,000 savings because we didn't have to buy a 8-inch meter.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on the warrants, the bills, cash disbursements? Okay, hearing none, bring it back to the board. Any questions, comments?
I have a question on the rebuilding of the meter.
Yes.
That is on the well that you're measuring the output or the outflow. Is that correct? Or?
Yes, Director. What it is I figured we needed to get our house in order first because we're going to ask the constituents mm-hmm. to, you know, with new meters, contribute more money. Well, nobody even knew. I asked numerous people, and nobody remembered the last time that our meter had either been calibrated or worked on or replaced. So this is the largest meter that we have, and if we pump, it regulates how much water. This way we're not giving water away. So now it's rebuilt. It isn't completely installed yet, but it should be by next week.
Okay.
So this way we'll know exactly how much water is going out. We won't be giving any away.
Will we be rebuilding our other meters on the other pumps?
On the
also?
Other wells?
Yes, on
ma'am.
The other wells.
Yes. We wanted to do this one first because it would be the largest, the most expensive, and it's the one we use the most. And then the other ones we'll do after.
It sounds like you found a good company.
We were really pleased.
Okay, any other questions? Can I entertain a motion?
I move approval of the cash disbursements as presented.
Second.
Okay. Motion a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries 5-0. Takes us to item number 8, administrative items. 8A is discussion district water rates. General Manager.
Item 8A is the discussion of district water rates. I wanted to get as much public input on this as I could. It came today. I put a copy on the director's desk. This is the official. We ran the legal notice in the local Tribune. It ran September 26th, October 6th, October 8th, and October 10th. Now, that's probably once or twice more than I would normally run a legal notice, but it was such an important issue that I felt that I passed out is the report. The reason I call it to people's attention, in the lower right-hand corner, it should have an R. Because as soon as we received the report, we sent it out, and then after that, Mr. Tuckfield made some revisions. So the R in the lower right-hand corner means that it's the latest information. I will later give management's comments on the study itself, but right now I'd like to turn the presentation over to Mr. Steve Tanaka from the Wallace Group and Mr. Clayton Tuckfield, who have helped us with this report. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, good evening, everybody. Steve Tanaka with Wallace Group. I will be brief tonight. I'm here to introduce Clayton Tuckfield, Tuckfield & Associates. Clayton will be presenting the water and sewer rate study. As you know, in the past year, Wallace Group assisted preparing the draft water master plan and the sewer system study, which formed a basis for some of the capital improvements that were identified for use in the rate study. So I'll be here tonight to answer any questions related to the water sewer systems, and I'll be turning it over to Clayton Tuckfield to present the rate study. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm pleased tonight to present the results of our water and wastewater rate study for the Oceano Community Services District. This was a comprehensive study that looked at a number of items that I collected, data that I collected from the district, including financial statements, budgets, billing information, and several ordinances related to the district water and sewer systems. I'll try to be brief tonight. There's a lot of information I need to present to address adequately what's going on with the district. So with that, I'll try to keep the pace going a little bit comfortably here. The objective of this study was to analyze the water and sewer funds, specifically look at the historical revenues and expenses, look at what's been occurring in those funds, and then develop a forward-looking five-year financial plan for each of the water and sewer funds. Once we developed that financial plan, we identified the revenue targets we need to meet, and then develop a schedule of water and sewer rates that's going to generate that revenue for us that are fair and equitable among the customers. I'd like to discuss several topics tonight, the types of utility expenses, types of revenue and other costs received by the district's funds, the various district fund types and how they are classified. Also discuss the district's financial policies, specifically as they relate to capital replacement, how much cash you want to keep on hand as a reserve. Also discuss the study assumptions that were used in developing the financial plan, excuse me, and discuss the current financial condition. And lastly, propose a rate strategy to get us back on track. Now, the types of utility expenses and revenues, we have generally operating expenses and revenues and capital expenses and revenues. Operating expenses, those are basically the day-to-day type of operating expenses to keep the system working. These include salaries and benefits, electrical power, chemicals, maintenance and repairs to our water and sewer systems. The types of operating revenue we receive, that's the revenue we receive from our rates. They come into each of our operating funds. We also have miscellaneous income, generally considered interest income, penalties, late fees, things like that, that go to offset our operating expenses. Separately from that, we have capital expenses and capital revenue. Capital revenues include new improvements to the system, any replacement of fixed assets. Typical things might be water line replacements, water wells, rehabilitation, pump stations, distribution system improvements, and the like. All types of hard fixed assets related to the systems themselves. Now, revenues coming to offset the capital include connection fee revenue. That is a one-time charge when a person or a home or a type of development connects to the water system. They pay a connection fee amount. That goes to offset the capital that was invested by this district to provide service to that type of development. We also receive proceeds from any bond issues if we do issue a bond or if we accept a loan to collect proceeds to pay for capital. Also, we have annual transfer from operations. What that is an amount that comes from the water rates that goes into the capital fund to make replacements as they occur in the future. Now, other types of obligations at each fund include debt service. This is the annual principal interest on loans that are outstanding with each of the funds. Other expenses may include the transfers, the annual capital, which I just explained. And another item the district has is payments or repayments to restricted reserves. Restricted reserve is money that's set aside in a separate fund. It is restricted and is not intended for use for operating or for capital. The money in those funds are accumulated or have been borrowed against, but nonetheless, they are still restricted and are not available. This represents kind of a graphical presentation of the different types of funds that the district has, the source, and we like to keep a minimum balance there of at least what we tend to spend on an annual basis. It's not a hard, fast rule, and it's not a policy of the district. It's just something we like to have as a minimum balance amount.
Excuse me, sir. When you say the district, can you clarify which district you're talking about?
When I say district, I'm referring to Oceano Community Services
great.
District.
Thank you.
The district also has restricted reserve funds. There are a number of those. I footnoted those here. For example, at the very bottom, there's a supervisory control and data acquisition fund, community development block grant fund, state water project fund, Lopez fund, water main bond fund. There are a number of restricted funds that those monies reside in that fund, and they're not to be used for operating or for capital. They're there for the intended purpose that they were collected. Now, sources of money coming into those funds essentially are accumulations, either through payments on a monthly basis, from development impact fee revenue, debt coverage requirements, loan proceeds, whatever the intended purpose was. Now, the uses of those monies go towards making debt service payments for specific project expenditures, such as the state water project or for Lopez. The amount of money we keep on hand in those funds, there's really no specific requirement other than what is specifically stated in the covenants that you sign when you borrow that money. So those are specific to each fund, and there's no set balance for that. Now, the district has several financial policies I'd like to discuss. One of those is how much money we keep in the operating fund to work with on a day-to-day basis. I mentioned earlier that the general utility practice is 30 to 180 days. District's policy is 90 days of O&M. So 25% of the operating expense for the water fund is kept as cash on hand to be used to operate with day-to-day. For the sewer fund, that is 60 days of O&M expense, about 16.7%. Another district policy is to make an annual transfer for capital replacement to the capital fund annually, approximately equal to depreciation expense. So as we use up our fixed assets, we want to put the money back into the system. That reflects the annual transfer that we make to the capital fund every year. As a new policy we've discussed, we want to repay any borrowed amounts from restricted reserves over a five-year period. The district has borrowed funds. I will discuss that in a minute, but we want to try to pay that back over time, get our restricted funds back up to where they should be, and refrain from future borrowing. For the study itself, we had several assumptions. For customer growth, we're assuming there's actually no growth this year and the next 2 years. However, beginning in 2013 and 14, we'll begin to add 8 new single-family residential customers annually. For our projected water sales volume, we're assuming there's going to be a 1% annual reduction in use per account. That has been the current trend, as well as this February, the state of California adopted its 20 by 2020 water conservation plan. That plan calls for a 20% reduction in statewide consumption per capita by the year 2020. So we want to recognize that plan and include it into what we're doing here at the district. And going forward, we have inflation and operating expenses. We're projecting that salaries will increase approximately 3% a year, benefits will increase 6%, and all other expenses would increase at 3% a year, mostly reflecting CPI other than benefits. Now, that includes all these the assumptions, the district's financial policies, and kind of the administrative stuff to get out of the way before we get the actual financial planning process. Now, in the financial planning process, we look at a couple things, what we're planning to spend on capital and what we're going to spend the next few years on our obligations. So to address capital improvements, the district's current budget calls for a few improvements, including a compressor, some shovel-ready projects. The total cost of those is about $41,000. That will be funded entirely through monies available in the Capital Improvement Fund. The district commissioned a water master plan last fiscal year that identified several water line replacements. We're projecting those will begin construction in 2013 and 14, a total cost of about $1.285 million. We're proposing that will be funded through a loan from the USDA, so that our total cost of the CIP over the next 5 years will be about $1.326. The impact to water rates from this is the debt service that we'll need to pay from the USDA loan. That will be included in operations and will come out of utility rates. All other costs will be paid for by reserves on hand. Now, I mentioned I would discuss the existing financial condition and also present a forecast of the expenditures and other obligations of the district's fund. I presented this statement here. This is a condensed statement, but nonetheless, I don't think it's going to take a whole lot to review this. The first year is essentially the district's budget. Thing to note here is line 15, the cumulative fund balance, and I've circled that in red. As you can see, we're running a deficit this year, and as we move forward the next several years, we're going to increase that deficit simply because we're not collecting enough revenue to meet the obligations of the fund. Also note, line 14, our beginning fund balance this year is zero. Our target balance is line 16, $265,000. So we don't have any money to operate with. Now, this graphically represents the last slide that I gave, plus how we're going to move forward. The blue columns represent the O&M expense. Yellow is the state water project payment. Orange would be existing debt from other safe drinking water loan, I believe. The green column is low expenses rate to low plus. So in just the first couple of years, you can see the black line is how much money we're currently collecting. So while we might be close this year, the next year we drop off and it continues to drop off, and we're not going to meet obligations as we move forward. The red line indicates if we were to have annual increases in our revenue, 8% annually into the fund, we would be able to meet those obligations and put some money back into our reserves to reach our financial policy guideline of 90 days of O&M. Also note that the existing debt, the orange column, that drops off in 2013 and 14. However, we're adding new obligations. That consists of repayment to restricted reserves, as well as annual capital replacement, which is back to our policy guideline. So this reflects the financial policy, a financial plan for the water fund going forward and what we need to do to restore ourselves back to good financial condition. Once we have our revenue targets identified in the financial plan, we need to generate rates then that will generate that amount of revenue coming in. And looking at the existing water rates, I noticed a couple things. Most notably is the rates have not been increased since April 12, 1997. That's 13 years without an increase, while consumer price index has risen approximately 2 to 3% per year. That's an amazing accomplishment. The existing rates themselves consist of fixed charges and volume charges. The fixed charges for residential, everyone gets charged the same charge per dwelling unit. For non-residential, customers are charged a fixed charge by the meter size that they have. The volume charge is an inclining three-block rate structure where there's no charge in the first block and the prices increase with more water consumption in successive blocks. Now, developing proposed rates, I did a cost of service analysis. I allocated costs between fixed and variable costs. The California Urban Water Conservation Council suggests that through their best management practices, that if you're collecting under 30% of your revenue from fixed charges, you essentially have an appropriate conservation rate structure. The existing charges collect about 24%. I'm proposing that we collect 15% of our revenue from fixed charges, thereby essentially creating more of a conservation structure than we currently have right now. For fixed charges, I'm proposing that we recover those charges by following what's called the single-family residential equivalency ratio that's identified in the district's ordinance 2006-1. Essentially, that ordinance specifies that higher meter sizes have larger capacity requirements than the smaller meter sizes and therefore should pay proportionately based on the cost that they experience. So once I knew what the fixed charge revenue was to be recovered and applying the ratios, I could develop a charge then that would generate that amount of money. For residential, I knew their meter sizes. I knew how much we were collecting. So averaging that over the number of dwelling units, each dwelling unit will be charged the same charge as is currently done now. For non-residential charges, those will just follow the meter ratios that's presented in Ordinance 2006-1. For our volume charges, I can proposing that we maintain the three-block rate structure. However, we would start charging for water in the first block. Now, the combination of these two will be a more of a conservation rate structure, which I'll demonstrate in a few slides. But essentially, this is the tabular presentation of what the rates look like. On the left-hand side, you'll see classification. We have residential and non-residential. For residential, the existing charge, kind of in the shaded gray first column, the current charge is $23.94. That charge will decrease to $15.60 this January 1st, 2011. For non-residential, you can see the various meter sizes that are shown there. They escalate from 5/8 inch up to 6 inch, following the equivalency meter ratios in Ordinance 2006-1. So approximately when you get to the 3-inch meter size for non-residential, the charges increase higher than they had previously. For our water consumption, all customers receive the three-block rate structure. As you can see, the structure consists of three blocks. The first 6 units is the first block. The next 1,900 cubic feet is the second block. Over 2,500 cubic feet is the third block. The charge in the first block is no charge right now, $2.25 in the second and $2.95 in the third block. I'm proposing that we go to the January 1, 2011, the first block would begin to be charged water at $1.72 per 100 cubic feet, escalating to $2.56. which escalates to $3.44 per 100 cubic feet when we reach the top block. The Lopez charge is a separate charge on the customer's bill, essentially the financial plan we presented. Now, if you're a low water consumer, say, for example, you use 4 units. I'm just picking off the chart here. Your fixed charge decreases by $8.34, but your consumption charge is going to increase by $6.86. So essentially, if you follow all the way across from the 4, you're actually receiving a 5% decrease in your bill. So low water consumers will experience a decrease in their bills. Those who have high water consumption, if you go all the way down to the bottom of the chart, will increase more than 8%. So essentially then, by restructuring the rate structure, we have more of a conservation structure where low consumers pay less and higher consumers pay a little more. Now, also of note, we would like to compare ourselves with other agencies within San Luis Obispo County. The district's average consumption is 20. So if we took that same amount of water and we applied it to the rate schedules of other water purveyors in the county, we would have this bill shown on this graph here. This would indicate that Oceano is essentially in the middle of those, given the amount of water sold, even with the additional increase that's being expected. That concludes the financial planning for the water system. The sewer fund financial planning will follow a similar process. Hopefully it'll go a little bit faster, since we're all a little bit more familiar with how I've approached this. Capital improvements to the water, wastewater system. This year's budget identified several repairs and replacements, a gas sensor, a compressor. That totals about $102,000. There's no impact to wastewater rates because money is on hand to pay for all of that, and there are no other capital improvements planned for the next 5 years for the wastewater system. I've also developed an existing financial condition and forecast for the district for the wastewater fund. We have a similar situation. If you look at line 12, the cumulative operating fund balance, while we're able to generate some money this fiscal year, as we move forward in later years, you can see that we quickly go into a deficit mode. The target balance shown on line 13 is $50,000 to keep. We have zero to start with, as shown on line 11. There is no coverage requirement because there's no debt for the wastewater system. So essentially then, for the wastewater fund, our operating cash is nearly depleted. We do not contribute to annual capital replacement, which is one of our financial guidelines. We're meeting our obligations this year through the use of connection fees. There were some customers connecting. We're using those fees to meet the obligations, which is why you see the positive this fiscal year. We're not going to do that in the future. The fund has borrowed from restricted reserves to meet annual obligations of the past several years, and we are not paying that money back currently. This graphically represents the wastewater fund. The black line represents how much money we're collecting. So while we meet the obligations this year, that quickly does not meet obligations going forward. The red line indicates that if we were to increase revenue into the fund by 15% annually, we would then be able to meet the obligations as well as put money back into the fund to develop our operating cash reserve, which is a district policy. Also note that we begin to repay the money to restricted reserves in 2013. That's the yellow column. We also begin to contribute back to annual replacement. That's the green column shown in fiscal year 2014. And looking at the wastewater charges, the district's wastewater charges have not been increased since June 22, 1996. That's 14 years without an increase, while consumer price index has continued to increase. The existing charges, each residential customer is charged a flat rate per dwelling unit. For non-residential, they get that same charge for the first 1,000 cubic feet of water consumed, and then all water consumed after that is charged a dollar per 100 cubic feet charge. I'm proposing we keep those same charges. There's a couple of reasons for that. When we get to the actual chart, I'll demonstrate why I don't think there's any changes required at this time. These are the wastewater fixed charges. These are the district's fixed charges. There's a separate charge for wastewater treatment from the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District that goes on the customer's bill. Those charges are not included here. These are only the district's charges. On the left-hand side, you'll see the classification. We have single-family residential, multi-unit, school, and several others. For single-family customers, the current charge is $9.25. That will increase to $10.65. That's $1.40. per bi-month increase, or 70 cents a month increase. Rates escalate following the 15% per year financial plan going forward in future years, as we identified in the financial plan. For non-residential, there's no charge in the first 10, and then over 10, you're getting charged currently 75 cents per 100 cubic feet. That would escalate to 90 cents per 100 cubic feet, and then 15% per year going forward for non-residential customers. Now, as I mentioned, I didn't change the rate structure, and this is a good reason why. The red column indicates where Oceano is right now. Given when you add in the district's charges, add that with the wastewater treatment service charges, the district's charges are next to lowest in the county for wastewater treatment service. I think that's very reasonable. and I don't see things being changes at this time. So that concludes my presentation, and if there's any comments, questions, I would entertain those now.
Any questions from the board?
I have a lot of questions.
I do too.
Want to go to, you want to go to the public first, or you want to go from the board first? Before we go discussing up here, let's hear from the public and have any questions from the public, any comments. Please feel free to come up and ask or make a comment and suggestions, anything you'd like to say.
Am I to understand that the less water we use, the less we save?
Mr. Sweet,
practically nobody reads the Tribune anymore. Why couldn't you put a notice about the meeting in our water bills?
I didn't, because of the billing cycle, you know, it didn't come out as well as putting it in the Tribune. Plus, we wanted to make the comment. We also posted it online, and we had a copy available of the rate study in the lobby for people to look at since the beginning, and numerous people did come in and pick up a copy. That was why I made the comment earlier that the latest one has the R on it. So we tried to get the copies out the best we could.
Karen White, Halcyon. I just wondered how much this study has cost.
The total cost of the contract is $29,000+. It's a little less than 30. To date, we've spent $27,000. So we haven't spent all the money yet, and we will not exceed the. It was $29,000+. I don't remember the exact amount, but it was less than $30,000.
Nina Grabia, Oceano. I have a couple of questions. When the state says, you know, they give you these per capita consumption figures, does that include people that are here illegally?
I don't have the state.
Okay, because I'm just wondering, you know, if the federal government ever does their job, maybe then there'll be less capita and there'll be more for the people that are here, so there's not such a strain on the entire system. Also, on your wastewater presentation here, you were saying that the rates will be increasing 15% per year.
15% per year on the district's chart.
Is that like a forever thing?
No, it's just during the study period.
Up until July of 2015?
Correct.
Okay. And that is based, you came up with 15% based on what?
Table SW5 on page 27. I essentially looked at the financial obligations, how much money is going out, how much money we need to collect to meet all of our financial requirements.
Okay. Could you answer those at the microphone so that everybody can hear?
Yes, I'm sorry. I presented a financial plan here up on the screen as well as in the report on page 27, I believe it was. Essentially, it gives the forward-looking financial plan for the wastewater fund. So essentially, these are the requirements we need to make. And then we need to generate monies to pay for that. That's what's shown. Essentially, revenues less our requirements are shown on line 19 here, called the cumulative operating fund balance. Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions from the public?
Keith Swanson. I guess the first question I'll ask on page 11, is this mean residential customers or the number of residential bills? And does that include dwelling units? And just, I'm going to just ask the question. Just one of the things I observed, we've had this experience with Mr. Tuckfield in Los Osos, and, you know, it's interesting that there were no other options. This was like the only option that you had. We had like three options that we could go with, you know, changing the fixed rate, the unit charges, and so on. You just have this one proposal in front of you. And I just want to remind you, and I know that we made a statement in the JPA when he did a rate structure for them, that Los Osos CSD actually had discovered that we had a $500,000 shortfall if we had continued with the rate structure that he proposed and that we implemented. And if we had not intervened, we would have had that shortfall. So we had to have an immediate rate increase in order for us to capitalize and to pay for the loans that we did for our infrastructure improvements. And I think that's it for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to respond to those questions?
Yes.
Oh, I did. Okay. Please.
Can you answer that question on the
I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
Is it the resident number of residents? Is it residential customer group or bills?
Okay, could you please answer that?
Well, I tried to ask him when he was at the podium, but I didn't get an answer from him. The actual on table W3,
this is the same thing. Plus, he's going to, what I can see, he's going to run the water company and the sewer district. Why can't you guys run it? You're going to pay him anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million a year to tell you what to do. And that don't make sense. So I don't see why the board can't do the same thing he's doing a lot cheaper. He went to college, and I don't know how many more schools he went to after that, but he's very well educated, and he went to a lot of schools to learn his job. And he reads this, and he throws in all these charges because he can. And the people of the South County, if you go through with this water rate, your water rate's going to go sky high, and this gentleman's going to make a lot of money. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Just to clarify a little bit, this what this gentleman's done for us is to just do a study to come up with what his business feels the rates should be to come up with the money needed at the CSD. Not he won't actually be running the water department.
$30,000.
Richard Margetson. Keith asked the question. I'll start out. First of all, we don't have a stake in this. We came from Los Osos to try to give you some information on what we experienced in Los Osos. There ended up being a shortfall. Keith and I were actually the ones that found it, went to the board, did a presentation. They changed the rate structure and got us back online. Then we went to a different rate structure this last fall. So we're here for that purpose. So I know these reports pretty thoroughly. The reason I ask on page 11 about the 1985 number of customers, if that's the same number of bills that are sent out, I assume it is. Is it in that category? If I could get an answer to that, then I can...
Please, somebody that knows, answer that question.
As I mentioned a minute ago, that's the number of customers, the same as the number of accounts. Number of bills would be six times that.
Okay. I understand it's six times that in a year. What I wanted to know, if there was any breakdown off of this number. The reason I bring this up is... Down further in this chart, you have under water sales volume, the first column under residential, 327,644. Okay? If you divide that by number of customers, divide that by six, the average consumption is 27 units per bi-monthly billing cycle. not the 20 that's in here, not the 14 that's listed for multifamily. So I guess my concern is, was the structure based on the true average consumption in the residential category? And this is what happened in Los Osos. That's why we had the shortfall. There was this misunderstanding of what the customer billing base was on average, and that's what's left us with the shortfall. Did everybody understand the question? Because we have a question of... So everybody got that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you understand what the ramifications... Okay. Second comment is, this report, when you announced that it was released, I went online maybe 3 weeks ago and got the old report. Sunday, I was checking to see what time the meeting was, and I thought, I'll just check the report to see if there's any revisions. There were revisions. I guess my question is, what happened in that two-week period that changed from a 7% recommendation to an 8% recommendation? And I know that there were some other calculations in the report that were changed. There was an income total in the fifth year of the revenue projections that was incorrect, that was corrected, things like that I noticed had been changed. I'm just curious how that came into play. I also have a little concern about the 6% increase for employee benefits. In year five of this report, based on your expenses for employee salaries, you will be paying out 65% in benefits, additionally in benefits. And I don't, per unit charge, if you add 15% to 75 cents and carry that out, those aren't the numbers. The numbers should be 86 cents, 99 cents, 114, 131, and 151. And it doesn't sound like a lot of money, but when you accumulate that over the period of 5 years times the number of units that you're billing out to, you're in the tens of thousands of dollars. Another charge to your customers who are hurting like everybody else. I also have a real concern that as long as this report has been in the works, and I know because I've watched your meetings, and I know the frustration you had it, that you were only given one option. I know in Los Osos we had, I think the first go around we had at least three options. It might have been four to pick from. I think you're basically tied to this. You put out your notice, and I think you need to have some serious discussion of, you know, what you really want down the road. The other, I have other things, and tell me to shut up whenever you need me to. The concern with the way this is built is by the end of the fifth year, these water rates from where they are right now will be 47% higher than they are right now. But built into your projections and your analysis in here, you're looking at less than a total 3% reduction in consumption. 46% increase or 47% increase over 5 years is going to cause a higher reduction in consumption. I will give you the example of Los Osos' recent rate increase, which I worked on. I was on the subcommittee that worked on it. Was nowhere near what you're looking at for 5 years in total. The last 2 months, consumption year over year comparison have been down 9% and 8%. We believe it's based on the need to conserve, people believing you need to conserve water, but also the economy. Times are tough, and if people can cut back, that's a place they can cut back. And the concern is, based on this analysis, will you have the revenue in year 3, 4, and 5 that you're looking at to accomplish the things that you want to in this report? Like I said, I have other things, and if you have any questions, feel free to ask. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What's that guy's name?
Okay. Could you please address each one of those items for us? Thank you.
Did
to you. Do you have notes on each of the things?
I believe I do. If I miss one, please let me know. As far as his comment related to the consumption per account or per unit, that's because the residential class, there are accounts that have multiple units. So these are accounts. They're not the total number of dwelling units. So the average per dwelling unit is 20. But because there are not each account is metered, I mean, sorry, not each unit is metered. There are multiple units on one account.
I can't quite hear you.
There are multiple dwelling units on one meter. These represent accounts with a meter. So if there are several units on one meter, it's not going to show up here, but the actual average consumption per dwelling unit is 20. Does that make sense? Okay. As far as the old report goes, I don't know the status of what happened. I submitted a revised report within a few days after that. I don't know how the district chose to present that, but the report was modified promptly. As far as the benefits expense goes, that's reviewing the district's actual increase in those expenses, as well as comparing that to the Bureau of Labor Statistics' own projections and own historical increase in costs related to employee benefits for governmental entities. As far as why does the non-residential wastewater charges increase less than 15%, first of all, it's rounded to the nearest nickel. Secondly, we're charging them the same charge that the residential gets paid, and then whatever we don't recover from that is recovered in the volume charge. So it's not going to be specifically, identically, 15% increase going forward, simply because the numbers don't work out that way. Now, I did hear the gentleman say that they've experienced more consumption, more reduction in consumption than what we planned for. If there's more reduction in consumption, we have less water sold, we'll collect less revenue. So the only way to get the revenue back is to raise the price. So you'll see even higher prices than I presented in this report to make up for the lost revenue. So I mentioned the benefits essentially was historical looking as far as the Bureau of Labor Statistics go, as far as applying the percentage. Is that what we're discussing?
Yeah. Is that...
I don't know. You'd have to look back at your table. What numbers you put in there.
I just think that if you check other local agencies, that, that percentage is high compared to the proportion of benefits to salaries. I just want some clarification, just so I'm sure, on what he said about the 1985, that there are that's not the number of bills that you send out bimonthly.
That's right.
Because if you divide the 327 by 20 by 6, I mean to get down based on 20, then you have then you're actually in that category. You have over 2,700 actual bills that would be going out, and that's what's confusing in here. Is that correct, or is it?
Yeah.
Anyway,
okay.
He may not know. It may be a district question.
Rafael, how many bills?
Well, I'd like to get it clarified myself. And
do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah, okay. I understand what you're saying. It looks like the comparison here is in apples and oranges instead of one takes into account the number of bills, and the other one takes into account the number of residences. Is that correct?
If you're looking at the average consumption per dwelling unit, you have to count up the number of dwelling units. That's not shown on this table. This only shows the number of accounts.
Okay. How many dwelling units
there are multiple dwelling units per account. I don't recall the actual number.
Okay, so when we're looking at this 1985, that's the number of bills being sent out.
That's the number of accounts.
Okay.
The number of bills would be six times that because you send out bimonthly bills.
Six times.
Yeah, number of bills in a billing period. Okay, and the 327,644 is the number of
that's how much water
units?
How much water was sold through the meters for residential customers.
Okay. All right. Is that the question we're looking at? I forgot the joke. Is that the question you're looking at right now, the 27 as opposed to the 20?
I just want to know which it was. If it was based on dwelling units, and it should have been in the report that it was based on dwelling units.
Right.
The 20 shouldn't have been based on residential units. It should have been based on dwelling units.
Okay.
What I can just add for one point of clarification is, like, we just did one of the last building cycles. So the last building cycle, we sent out 2,165 bills. But, see, the reason is it seems confusing, but it really isn't. I have a bill in front of me that shows the exact number of units, and it comes out to the $78.49 that Mr. Tuckfield asked, is because some bills represent more than one, like, for example, a lot of the old ones are grandfathered in. There's two houses on one lot. It has one meter. So I don't know what the correct average is, but I know that how many bills we sent out the last time we sent them out. We sent out 2,165. And I know that there's a lot of bills that we sent out that meter serves more than one family dwelling.
And we send one bill per meter.
Yes, sir.
The total he just
talked about includes your commercial and all other categories.
Exactly.
Also.
Exactly. That includes everything. We sent out 2,165.
So do you know how many residentials were sent out last billing cycle?
1,985.
Okay, so this
is the number that's in the report.
You're right. I just wanted to verify it.
But again, that each residential account, in the case of, for example, some of the mobile home parks, possibly some of the apartment complexes, there's a number of dwelling units, residences, in other words, that have only one meter. So I think that's the discrepancy. If you look at the amount of water sales volume divided by the number of total residential accounts that's billed, it looks like 27 units is the average consumption, but if you look at the number of actual dwelling units, which would include each mobile home in a mobile home park that might have 1 meter, or each apartment in an apartment complex that may have only 1 meter, Mr. Tuckfield, correct me if I'm wrong, is saying that if you divide by the number of dwelling units, Mr. Margaret
waited till after the board had received the revised one before we changed it and upgraded it online so that everybody had the same information. I didn't want the public to have one report and the directors to have another.
Okay.
Last thing. Then for clarification, again, if there's that many bills that are being sent out, say that the 1985 is the number of residential bills that are being sent out, and some of those are going to multifamily, where there's more than one unit. Is the fixed charge on that bill only being charged once? Or say it's a four-unit multifamily, is the fixed charge being charged four times on that bill that's coming from the district? I guess that's my question.
Good question.
Can you clarify your comment about the increasing from the 7% to 8% that you asked about earlier?
I just wanted to know why within, you know, after all the time it took to put this report together, why within a week or so, a couple of weeks, it went from 7 to 8.
Okay.
I mean,
it's a fair question.
All right. So can you address those two issues again? Thank you.
On page 19 of the report, table W7, classification under residential, your footnote number 1 there says that the charge applies to each residential dwelling unit.
Okay. All right, Charlie.
So there's 1 meter.
And there are multiple units.
That means it's
If there are four units on one meter, you get four charges of the residential charge.
Okay, and that is, we have all that information within.
That's how the bill is generated.
All right. And then as far as the 7 to 8%.
As I mentioned earlier, I presented a report. I had to revise that within, I believe it was less than 3 days, and I submitted it back to the project manager of the job, and after that, I don't know what happened to it.
Okay, do you know what caused the revisions, what caused the change in the 7 to 8%?
I'm not recalling the exact details. I don't recall. I believe, I don't know.
Sir, the study's almost a year old.
Pardon me?
Your study is almost a year old.
How can that be? It's dated September 2010.
January 1st, 2010 to 11. It's October 2010.
Where does it say that?
Just looking at your fixed charges, and you start them all.
Can you
January
show me what?
1.
Can you show me what?
Start at page 2. It's page 2 in the classification. Jan 1, 210, 211.
That's fiscal year 2010-11.
We're 10 months into that.
Ma'am, there's only one January in the fiscal year, so that would be January
2011. Okay. And what month are we in 2010? The 10th month.
The fiscal year is July 1 through June 30.
Okay. So are you starting it July 1st? You started it as a calendar year or a fiscal year?
The first increase will be January of 2011. The next year will be July 1 of 2011.
So the first increase will be January 2011. The second increase will be July 2011. So
correct.
What will the total increase for that first year be? You're going to hit 50, are you recommending 15% in January, 15% in July, or 8% in January and 8% in July? I'm not quite sure. I need clarification.
I'm proposing the rates in the tables that I presented will be implemented on January 1 of 2011 that are shown here.
Mm-hmm.
And the next increase will be July 1 of 2011, which is in the next fiscal year.
Is my cold so bad that I can't think?
8%.
Is January and July 2011 in the same year?
Not the fiscal year.
Not the fiscal year.
Okay. Thank you.
I have another question.
Yeah, just some more clarification on that. There was the only one option brought up, too. Did you want to...
He said he thought that was the best option.
Okay. All right. We're still in public comment, so please.
Hi, Nina Grabielle Oceana. I just have two thoughts. Consumption of whatever, water, electricity, gas, whatever. And yet we know that if we use we consume less, then the rate gets higher. So their lifestyle is going to stay the same. But and they're also users, but our lifestyle is going to change because there's going to be less in our pockets, and the people in the government dole, their salaries stay the same, and their perks and their benefits and everything else stays the same. That seems really odd to me. I went to a PG&E presentation a couple weeks ago, and in that presentation, they were talking about how PG&E puts out these programs to get people to use less energy, turn off the light, so forth, you know. And that if they're successful in meeting their goals with their education programs and commercials and, you know, things in the mail and so forth, and we do consume less, that the shareholders get a bonus. Now, when I heard that, I just thought, you know, okay, so we're doing the work, but they're getting the bonus. That doesn't seem right to me at all either. So how do we break this cycle? And I'm kind of thinking, well, I just thought of this just now. With this water situation, you know, if everybody wants us to use less water,
I don't want to. It just doesn't feel right to me to be paying higher rates for using less water. It really doesn't, or even electricity or gas or anything like that. So why don't we just make it so that somehow, I'm sure we'll have to draw up a contract, hire an attorney, do all this stuff, but bottom line, have it so that if there is any, benefit to consuming less, that benefit goes back to the people. Does that make any sense? And whether maybe the people should start owning their own water district. You know, maybe the people of Oceano should own those wells, and that way if any water comes out of that well that is sold to another community or something, or if we meet our goal of using less water, that we get a shareholder's check back. Does that make sense? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board?
Good evening, Joseph Holmes. I live in Grover Beach. Bottom line, I just wish you all luck in this increase, whatever's going to happen. Because I know my water just got increased in Grover Beach. That just happened, and a lot of people were upset. And there was no notification either there. So I feel everyone's pain in this room right now. and all you who are watching. Bottom line is, I take the bus all the time. I drive through Oceano almost every day, and a lot of families get on the bus. On Wilmar, who live, as Mr. Hill said, the apartment complexes, a lot of families live in those complexes, and they're not going to be able to afford this. And a lot of low-income people, you know, who work, a lot of the mothers I know work at a lot of hotels, and they're barely getting by. A lot of families are barely getting by right now, and they're not going to like having the water bill increased. And for them to not have any say or any, you know, they're like, oh, here we go, here's my bill. Oh, it's just up $20. Oh, okay. They got to change their lifestyle. They got to, you know, and it's happening everywhere. Everywhere in the five cities. It's happening to me. You know, I've lived in this area for almost 20 years, and a lot of people are getting bigger bills, and I understand you got to, you know, conserve water, but, you know, I mean, people have been saying that for a long time, and people do have to take showers and wash their hands and whatever, you know, water their grass, and, you know, it's hard to just tell everybody to, you know. And I thought the purpose of, as Mrs. Guerrero said, the purpose of decreasing, you know, the less you use, your bill shouldn't be high. If you use more, that's when the bill should be high, as what's been said. So I just wish you all luck, you know, because I just got hit with mine. And I just feel for everybody, all the seniors, people with three kids, four kids, you know, single people especially, you know, married couples, you know, everyone's going to get hit. So I just hope that you all do what you can, and that's about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Dave Angelo. I hate to be the bad guy in the room, but, you know, I realize that everything's going up. I mean, go to the gas station. Remember when gas was 25, 35 cents a gallon?
I'm old enough to remember that.
I do.
Some plans. And then the rate study is not something that the district engineer does. We looked at, if I recall, there was like three potential consultants, and Mr. Tuckfield was selected based on, I believe, economics.
Well, to me, I mean, I understand that if you're going to build a house, you go get an architect. If you're going to put pipe in the ground, you need an engineer on the job. But I don't understand what the scope of the Wallace Group engineering group is, because I assumed, I mean, Raphael could have done this study, and you, Jim, could have done this study. I don't expect you to, it's not your job, but you know, it's math is what it is. It's nothing but math, really. And We've got one engineer hiring another engineer. Raphael said the study was $29,000. Did that include both engineers?
I thought that might come up again, so I have the bill exactly in front of me. And with the disbursements that the board approved this evening for a $3,185 check to the Tuckfield and Associates, that brings the total billed to date of $27,470. Now, I've seen the contract, and it's, you know, greater than 29, but less than 30. So we still have a couple thousand left to pay.
No, I understand.
Mr. Tuckfield, it does not include the Wallace Group.
Okay. What did we pay the Wallace Group for this study?
The Wallace Group, you know, has helped us not just provide information for this study, but they did the master plan as well. I don't have that figure in front of me, how much we've paid Wallace, but we could always, you know, look in the previous bills. I just have the Tuckfield bill here in front of me.
Well, I'd like to know the scope of our engineer, because, you know, like I said, I don't think this is rocket science. You know, you've got so many meters and you got so much going out, and you need to collect so much to cover it, and then there's reserves that you need to cover and what have you. It's math. And I think we're getting chewed up in administration. I mean, we're going to have to pay. I mean, it all becomes part of the water bill. And there's some facts that just aren't going to change. Water rates are going to go up. Well, you know, they did a big repair on the dam. They did a big repair on the treatment plant. There's stuff like that there's no getting around. You're just going to have to pay for it. I mean, you take your car to a mechanic, you're going to pay to have it fixed. But, you know, I just don't understand what the scope of our district engineer is when he subs it out to another engineer. It seems like we should find that out. And, you know, you guys need to know that. And I'm not blaming anybody for not knowing it, because I sat up there and I can't tell you. But somebody needs to ask the question, so I guess I'm asking you to ask the question, what, you know, is his scope of work? And maybe he's not the right guy for what we need. Maybe he's not, you know, the engineer. I mean, I assumed he was going to do the rate study. And then all of a sudden, Tuckfield shows up. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't make sense to me. Maybe I don't get it. I don't know. Also, while I'm here, I'd like to thank the guys from Los Osos. I don't know any of them, but you know, at least they come here from Los Osos because they care and they want to see us do the right thing. And I've never been to one of their, you know, I've never taken the time to go to one of their meetings, but they should be, we should appreciate them.
That is a cost not to exceed. So my time here is being paid for. However, there is a maximum limit to the contract, and it will not go over that.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions from the public? Okay. Bringing it back to the board. Any questions from the board?
Go ahead. Start. I don't care.
Who wants to start?
I'll start. Okay. Mr. Tuckfield, can you just step to the mic, please? That way you don't have to go up and down. Yes, we're used to, I think the gentleman's name is Doug, who has been coming and reporting on this study and the progress of this study. So some of us are slightly confused in who is the author of this study. I look at it, and it looks so familiar to past studies that the district has created, that I'm wondering if there was a little cut and pasting going on in the computer. Because, I mean, it really is identical besides some of the numbers. Did you take into consideration demographics? Did you look at the community of Oceano? Do you know what our unemployment rate is in Oceano? Do you, sir? Because you did the study that's going to assess our population.
I don't believe I've worked for Oceano previously, so I don't see how this could be a repeat of a past study. Secondly, we look at financial information. We look at billing system information. We look at the deficits related to each of the water and sewer funds. We don't necessarily look at demographic information other than growth projections in the number of accounts or the number of billing units.
Okay. So you're looking at a rate increase in a population you are not familiar with. Is that what
population?
You're saying, sir?
I'm not sure how to address your question other than
my
I have done studies across the United
States. Do you understand the economics of Oceano? Do you understand the economic impact that the people of Oceano live under? Because you're asking the people of this town to sign on to your study without knowing who the people are of Oceano. We have over a 10% unemployment rate in this little tiny area.
I would disagree with the fact that I'm being characterized that way. I look at financial information.
No, I'm talking about the study,
sir. It's up to the district board to decide whether to implement the rates.
Right. I'm talking about a study, sir, not a person.
Could you please let him answer and talk?
Well, you shouldn't take it personal because I'm talking about a study.
Well, you ask a question, and then he tries to answer it, and then you talk over him. Can you let him answer first?
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you.
As I was mentioning, these types of studies are done across the nation. A lot of times consultants travel to different cities. Therefore, they're not necessarily a part of the city or the community where they do the studies. They're based on financial information and moving forward to develop a financial condition that's solvent for the community. So if anything, this is a study that's of beneficial nature to the community because it's going to present their finances in a much better position than they currently are.
Did you look at the foreclosure rates in the area, sir?
As I mentioned, I look at the financial and the data and the billing information that was provided to me by the Oceano Community Services District.
I think when you're looking at water rates and water hookups, you have to look and see how many vacancies we have, because it does impact on how much we bring into the district. Okay, so if we have a large rate of foreclosures, we have a 10% unemployment rate, and we're living almost 80% below the poverty line, and we carry the highest number of low to moderate income populations in this county, you have to take those things into consideration if you want an accurate study, a study that people will understand. And that's where I get slightly irked, I guess would be a nice way to put it, is when Oceano is compared to more affluent neighborhoods. I don't think that that's accurate, and I don't think it's fair, and I don't think it's good research. Also, too, is I didn't see a real clear breakdown in the administrative costs. So could you maybe help me there? How much of the increase would go towards salaries? How much the increase would go towards,
I cannot provide that information. The district's accounting system is somewhat limited in itself as far as how they account for the expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't break it down that much further than I already have.
And how far did you break it down, sir?
Table W4 is the breakdown of expenses.
For admin?
Yes, it's just a one-line item called allocation of administrative expense.
Okay. Okay, the study was for rate increase options. You know, you chose just strictly a rate increase. And so I wanted to know, as you were writing your study, if you took into consideration is that Oceano has more water than we can consume because of our infrastructure, mainly. So did you take into consideration that revenue?
Are you asking would I reduce the rates to encourage water consumption? Is that what you're asking?
No.
It's not the consultant's job to run the district, I guess is a better way to say it.
No, I was just...
If you can sell water, that's a great consideration the district board should consider. But it's not the consultant's job to try to find avenues to sell more water for the district.
Okay. I just wanted to be very clear that you strictly looked at rate increases of water, period, end of story, right? You didn't look at anything else, right? I don't want to assume.
Well, the district prepares an annual budget. The consultant doesn't prepare that budget. So the district board has staff that prepares the budget and makes adjustments going forward. We address those, incorporate that ideas into the financial plan.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Director Lucy?
No.
Yeah. Director Angelo?
I think what you're trying to say is you looked at it as financial, what our estimates are and what our financial situation is and what we're going to need in the long run to maintain our water input, output to the customers, and including any costs that may come along that may have to be increased.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. Anything we know today that I can include in the financial plan or any changes that we know we can make have been included. But like I said, it's not my job to find alternative avenues for water sales. And
well, that's right. I understand
what you're talking contracts
about.
And things of that nature.
We can't go by individuals' income levels and that type of thing. You have to go by what is actual fact for the financial portion of it.
Yes,
and that's what you base it on.
Yes, the district prepares a budget, and that budget has a list of expenses and obligations that it has to meet on an annual basis. We have to have revenues coming in to meet that so that we are not in a deficit mode, but we're actually either creating a surplus or meeting those obligations. Okay. And that's the amount of revenue that we generate from our water rates or from our wastewater rates. And going forward, for example, we know that we have to build some new water lines 3 years from now. We need to have adequate resources to pay for that. So we're currently in a deficit mode. We've borrowed money from our restricted reserves that we haven't paid back. You're in a very tight spot, and the only way to get out of it is to increase the revenue coming into each fund.
Okay. Had you thought about, rather than the increasing over a five-year period, maybe stretching it a little longer so the rate increases are at a slower pace?
I did do that. In fact, the part of, I'm not sure where it says that in the study, but for example, I do make a note that you've borrowed from restricted reserves. We're not trying to pay that back all next year. We're stretching that out over time. I think even one of my slides said we're stretching that over 5 years.
Okay.
Also, annual capital replacement, the district has stopped making that transfer several years ago. And so we're going to reinstitute that. However, that's not going to occur next year. That's going to occur several years from now. So I have addressed looking at stretching this out over time the best way that I could to get you back in a reasonable financial condition and in a reasonable amount of time.
Okay. That's all for right now, but I'll probably have some more as we go.
Director Hill?
Okay. I have a bunch of questions. Please bear with me. The first one that your study didn't address was that I saw in the study was where are we now? It kind of strikes me that if we want to know where we're going or something, the first thing we need to know is where we're at now. And it's possible that the district didn't provide that information accurately. I know as a board member over the years it's been very frustrating because I've not been able to ascertain from the staff where we are now. What are the reserves now? Again, the staff hasn't been able to provide that, and that's not a reflection, by the way, on our general manager who's been with us for 1 year. But the prior staff, I guess, I've repeatedly time and time and time again asked for financial information, where are we now? Someone mentioned that our audits are 2 years old. That's quite correct. We don't know where we're at now, and so I'm kind of at a loss with a study that doesn't tell me where I am. The master plans do lay out where we want to go. Obligation bonds that are won't be retired for approximately 10 years. I wonder if we looked at possibly refinancing the existing bonds to save money. See, I look at not just, I don't take it as a block of where we have this block, and so rates have to add up until we get to the top of the block. I would like to look at reductions that are hopefully something that might be obvious. And your point, again, is well taken, that the district, the board, all of us, are responsible for running the district, including things like refinancing those bonds. I know that finance levels are apparently at a historically low level. It might be something we want to do to reduce our cash outflow of refinancing those longer-term bonds. We mentioned the waterline replacement projects. One thing I think that our ratepayers need to know is that on the one hand, we say we haven't raised rates in many, many years, which is true, but what we're seeing is the deferred maintenance is running our water system, if you'll pardon the pun, into the ground. And we have valves that are failing. We have identified water mains that are just fundamentally rotting away in the ground because there's been no maintenance done on them over a number of years. Because we haven't, our rates haven't kept pace with that. Someone else mentioned funds being chewed up in administration. We'll come back to that later. You mentioned a proposed loan from the Department of Agriculture where we might come up with some money for improvements to the water system. It looks to me like your loan is probably more than would be necessary. And again, while I recognize that the cost of money is low at this particular point, I'm also not of a mind to borrow money that I don't need to borrow. Your original document said that the rate increase would be 7% on the first of this coming year, and then every July 1 for the subsequent 4 years, a total of 5 increases. The new report says that that goes to 8%. And so I note that over the 5 years, that's a 47% increase, which is what your recommendation is. There's, I believe on page 2, that there's an, I guess it's a typographical error, the very first line, the price in the second block is 150% of the price in the third block. But I believe that should say it's 150% of the price in the first block.
I believe you're correct.
Okay. You propose an interesting change to our fixed charges. And that is that you lower them rather dramatically at the start. But then I note that over the course of the 5 years, you raise them back about to where they are. That strikes me as somewhat unusual. And then you lower the consumption charges. So I'm trying to think what that looks like in the big picture. It looks like we're somebody who has zero consumption, you know, pays a minimum monthly charge. But what is zero consumption? That's probably a vacant house, right? And in this town, it's probably a bank repo. So it looks to me like we're giving the big banks a rate cut, and meanwhile our hardworking citizens are being asked to make that up. Similarly, somebody who uses one unit of water gets a reduction, and I'm trying to think what that looks like in real space, and it looks to me like a vacant house that's a bank repo that's got a small water leak. So again, it looks to me like reducing that minimum monthly charge is going to possibly benefit unintended recipients. I looked at the math on table ES2 on page 3, and I calculated it out using the information that you had on page 2, and you claim that you ran round to the nearest nickel, but it looks like if you go through the 20 unit calculation, I show that the difference is actually sixths of the calculation. It appears to me to be a calculation error. Inflation and operation and maintenance expenses. Over the last couple of years, we've not seen too much of that. We have reduced our personnel staffing in both the administration and the water department. This budget, I think, which is reflected in another one of your tables later on, shows that reduction. That's a fairly significant reduction in the amount of money that the district needs going forward. But apparently, if I read this correctly, we need to double our, well, we need to multiply our rates by half again for inflation in O&M, restoration of an adequate operating reserve. I agree we need an adequate operating reserve. Need for annual capital replacement. We do need some serious capital investment in our water infrastructure. Again, I don't know what the restricted reserves were reserved for. But our single-family bi-monthly fixed charge on table ES3 more than doubles over the study period in 2015. That's the fixed charge. The changing of the consumption charges is reputed to be because of some state recommendation 20 by 2020 or some, you know, fancy number that they like to do. We're in an interesting situation here in that we're drowning in water, and it's literally killing us, and it's financially killing us, which is why I'm very interested in that and what are the things that we can do. But the average person, typical bi-monthly bills can be determined from table ES3. It's like they basically go up again. It's, we're talking 47% increase. Looking at the wastewater thing, I'm sorry, the wastewater is the one that more than doubles. Our water rate goes up by half. The wastewater doubles. And again, we're talking about these same kind of things, infrastructure and cost of O&M and so forth. We just had a sewer system report that tells us that our sewer system's in good shape. We don't need to do a whole lot of capital improvements in our sewer system. And then I look at this thing that's going to more than double our sewer rate over 5 years. And I have to ask the question, why? I look at the, again, this is the wastewater bill here. If you, first of all, the baseline for processing that's out of our hands is $35 in round numbers. So our baseline really starts three quarters of the way up the red bar there. And when you double our rate as you're proposing to do, ours comes in higher than all of them, including the city of Paso Robles, and we are exceeded only by San Miguel and the rest. So we come into about halfway up the pack, whereas with our water rates, we'd be near the very top. We talk about some of the out-of-district bills, which are almost insignificant. Again, your scope of work was based on data supplied by OCSD. Going back to the sewer management plan says we don't need to fund the capital improvement plan. Our system is in good shape, and just probably annual capital would all we would need to do. We've inflated based on the Engineering News Record Historical Index, but for the last 2 years, the historical indexes have been thrown on their ear, in that inflation in the, over the last 2 years has been virtually flat, and those increases historical, I realize that any number anybody wants to pull out can be considered a projected cost, but currently, down this money that we're paying out every month in take-or-pay contracts, and we don't get anything for it. It's not water that we use. We don't have some big tank someplace that we're putting this water in. We just watch it go bye-bye, and the meter resets on the next year, and we keep paying. So it seems to me that we need to think way outside the box, not just how we can raise the rates to our residents, but how we can offload some of this tremendous amount of water availability that is bankrupting us. Projections are based on an analysis of historical expenses, take into account anticipated future system growth. Well, we know that we have some water mains, for example, that are old iron steel mains that are probably rotting away in the ground. They're too small. They need to be replaced. But system growth, we're a pretty finite locality. It's not like we're going to expand into the farm fields to the south. Cost increases in labor. We've actually decreased our costs in labor by reduction of staff positions. And then contractual services, I wonder which those are going to be. I again take strong issue with the 6% that Mr. Margetson mentioned, annual increases in benefits. I think that's way out of line. There's no way that can be justified in this economic climate. And, the increasing interest, compound interest is a magic tool, is what we're told. But here we're going to watch compound interest bankrupt us again. Increasing, decreasing in proportion to production volume. Production volume is only really relevant to our wells, which we use very little. It seems to me that increasing and decreasing the rates, again, we've got these take-or-pay contracts that are bankrupting us. The amortization schedule to rebuild our reserves over 5 years, that if that was expanded out to maybe 10 years, it wouldn't be such a back-breaking. In other words, you finance something for 5 years, you're going to pay a relatively significant amount. If you stretch it out to 10 years, then that leaves the district at some risk, probably of something goes bump in the night. You don't have enough money in the bank, but you can probably borrow it. Meanwhile, the ratepayers are all kicking in to establish that money to your bank account, and it's a lot harder on them to do that over 5 years than it is over 10. I look at two sides of the coin, not just revenue, but reduction of expenses. Our general manager's done a unbelievable job at reducing expenses here. We've reduced staff. We've reduced the O&M cost. We've reduced material costs. I had a commitment to the residents here that before I considered a rate increase, I would make sure that the costs were cut first. And I think the general manager has cut the costs here just about to the absolute max that they can be. In fact, I think he's probably cut them a little more than even the thing will sustain. But again, looming in the background is these huge take-or-pay contracts. In other words, we're paying for water that we never get, and we can't use it. It goes away, and the next year the clock resets and we pay more. How have we ascertained losses due to residential use? In other words, how much water are we getting from our various sources, the State Water Project, Lopez, and groundwater? How much raw water do we have, and how much do we bill out? How much system losses are there? One thing that was mentioned was the new meters. In fairness to all of our ratepayers, we need accurate meters. It's not fair for some old meters to be, reading slow or low, and new meters to be reading accurately, not high, but accurately. And I think we owe a duty to every one of the citizens here to accurately meter, because at the end of the second year, we'll have already replaced every meter in the district. So that's probably $50,000 per year in years 3, 4, and 5 that we don't need. I appreciate the questions and your response on the equivalent dwelling units. That did clear up some questions. Sewer main cleaning, is it typical that that's, it looks like that's our highest bill in the wastewater department, and we do that supposedly every other year. Do we call that a capital improvement, cleaning and inspection of the sewer lines, or is that an O&M cost? I guess because it's a big number, it becomes a capital.
Yeah, we normally would consider that an O&M item, operation and maintenance expense, but since you're not doing it annually, you're doing it every third year, and because you didn't have any money in the operating fund, we made that a capital item.
On page 24, next to the bottom paragraph, middle line, says needed to operate the water system on an annual basis. I believe we're talking about the sewer fund there.
That's correct.
I go back to, I guess, Econ 1A, where elasticity of demand was the term that the economists use. And typically when your rates go up, your volume goes down and your revenue, you know, hopefully stays neutral, but it may go down. And that, there again, I think that raising the rates, we're going to see a net decrease in revenue, which we can ill afford, and I'm just befuddled by the whole idea that we want to conserve water here. We want to sell water here. So it's difficult for me to buy in on, despite what the state claims is a good thing to do. They'd be just delighted to watch us all go bankrupt, and I'm not in that business. We had big sewer historical actuals, and I think a lot of that was related to probably earthquake replacements, which is part of the reason that our sewer system today is apparently in good condition. I wish that our water system was in that good condition. Wastewater service rates. You point out that since July 22, 1996, there's been no rate increase. Looking back 14 years with a 3% inflation rate, that looks to me like 47%, not the 100% that we're talking about here. Again, I can't really relate to that 100%. Do we know how wastewater flow compares with metered water use? Schools, I see we have different proposed wastewater charges. Single-family residential, 925. Multi-unit residential, 925. School, 65 cents per ADA. That's average daily attendance for the school. 65 cents. And that seems to me to be low. Are we giving them a particular benefit? The school, I know they're there, you know, probably a quarter of the day. But that seems to be a low number. Is there a particular reason why we propose to give the schools that low of a number?
We do a cost allocation, and when the total cost that's related to schools then is just simply divided by the ADA. It's no, not giving them a break. It's just how the math works out.
It looks to me like the schools are underpaying probably compared to the single-family residences and the other customers. So that's excess entitlement that we have that we're not using, that historically we've never used, and that our projected growth with all of this conservation efforts is probably not ever going to see. So I would propose that the board, and I think Mr. Tuckfield's right, it's not necessarily on the rate consultant, it's on the board's shoulders to come up with some different plans, like where can we sell water to take the burden off of our residents and, you know, not charge them for water that they're not using. I would like to know kind of, you know, again, what the basis is of your reducing our minimum monthly charge, kind of reducing it and then bringing it back up, and at the same time working on the consumption, where it looks like vacant houses are getting a big price break. Why is that?
It wasn't set up to do that fact. It essentially means that if a home is connected and has an active account with the water or sewer system, they do get a bill. And that covers essentially administrative expenses, some fixed expenses, more or less, even though no water is consumed. The alternative would be that whoever owns that house just cancels the service and cancels their account, in which case they wouldn't pay anything. So essentially, it wasn't set up such that they get a break. It was essentially set up that economics turned out the person who was living there is no longer lives there, and whether or not they have an active account in the billing system or not.
Well, in this climate, again, I'd suggest that that looks like a bank repo right here, and I'm not impressed with the idea of giving a bank repo a break on the rates.
If anything, they're contributing to the district in the sense that they're not consuming any water. And therefore, there's no electrical power expense to deliver that water. And so they're contributing some money, actually, that you normally wouldn't get.
There's not a whole lot of electrical expense that goes into running state water down here by gravity, nor Lopez water down here by gravity. Electrical expense might come from running pumps occasionally.
Well, what service are they getting? I mean, they're not
getting, availability of water if they decide to sell the house.
And they're paying,
you know, they can bank it or do what they want with it.
Take that into consideration.
Anything else, Director Hill?
No, I think that's it.
Director Dean?
I have a few comments, and I want to thank the guys from Los Osos for coming and speaking to us about the things that they saw in our rate study. And if this were a perfect world, maybe this kind of rate study would work for us. But what I see here is on page 8, it says it should be noted that the financial plan and rates developed herein are based on the funding of the capital improvement plan as stated, as well as the estimates of operation and maintenance expenses. They have not been able to get the annual audits since June 2008, so we don't know where we stand. And we haven't seen a quarterly budget, so we don't know where we stand. And people need to know, when you speak about a 15% increase, that's just the first year. By the time what you're paying for, you know, say you're using 20 CCFs of water at this point, currently you pay $83.45. And that includes the Lopez charge. When we're done in July 1, 2014, you're looking at $113.81. That's a huge increase. If you're using more than, say, 25 CCFs, and I do, I looked at my rates on some months, I use more than that on a particular property that is extra large with a lot of landscaping. Currently, I would be paying $98.20, but in July 2014, I'd be paying $137.26. This is tremendous increase for our population. The last time we did an increase on, and it was the Lopez charges kicked in, and that was when I came on board, and people were dumbfounded. They started putting rocks in their yard. One lady said she didn't take baths anymore. What I see around my neighborhood is people aren't watering their lawns now because they can't afford to pay for the water where it is. It's really a particularly bad situation. So, and the other thing I see is that for our 12 or 38 back from our neighbors who are pumping water that we really should be allowed to pump, and that's the cheaper way to go. I know that lots of people won't like hearing that, but I don't think it's fair. We have set aside water for years and years, and now we're being penalized for it. So we're paying for the very expensive water, and I'm really upset about this groundwater that we can't use that everybody else can. So I'm finding that, yes, I think we're going to have to, as a board, sit down and talk about the rate study and see where we can back off and get into a lower percentage rate. I know they have to go up, but I can't see saddling our ratepayers with this big gulp to make up for all of our past sins for 12, 13 years. There's got to be another way to kind of work through this. You know, and we're looking at not having rate increases. Actually, the cost of living is going down 3%. And I expect that to keep going on. We don't have construction going on here to help us. We've done some things in the past where we didn't charge big developers certain things. So I'm having a problem with this. And I think we need to sit down as a board and sit, actually have the people of the community come in and tell them, we want your input on this. What can you do to help us? We have a starting point. I don't like the starting point. And that is not fair to our ratepayers. I think we need to take a hard look at some of these things that are in the rate study that maybe would be fine in a perfect world or in a different economic time, but it doesn't play well with me or the ratepayers.
see. Thank you.
Could I make two additional comments?
Sure.
On page 18 of the study, in the fourth paragraph, it says the top 10 to 20% of consumption is generally considered to include or partially include excess use or wasteful water consumption. I wonder if you've looked around the community here, if you really think that that's an issue here in Oceano. The second is, with due respect to my colleague, not pumping groundwater won't save us any money. In fact, pumping groundwater costs us more. And the reason is because we have these take-or-pay contracts for huge amounts of water, and that amount of water would serve all of our needs, and the groundwater, every additional unit of groundwater is a variable cost. In other words, running that pump with the diesel or the electricity or whatever it takes to run the pump, that's where the additional cost comes in. And the variable cost of pumping groundwater means that the groundwater is the absolute most expensive water that we have here, not the least expensive. So not using the groundwater perversely benefits us.
It also benefits our neighbors who are taking advantage of it, of that, and we are paying the big costs of state water and the take or pay. So my idea is that they should contribute to what our costs are for the take or pay water, because they're taking advantage of the groundwater. And I thought that was one of the things.
Groundwater in the gentleman's agreement.
I thought that was one of the things they were going to speak about in the Northern Cities Management Area, and we haven't talked about that. But that's something that we should maybe pursue.
That's probably a different agenda item, but it does warrant discussion.
Director Lucy.
Well, some of us aren't feeling very good about our 29K right now. Would you mind if we, can I make a motion that we take a break? Because it brought up a lot of questions, and I just,
that's,
you know,
fine.
I think some other people need to probably regurgitate this. And
that's fine. We can do that. I think everybody's at the board has had the opportunity to ask questions. I was going to ask a few, but I will make my questions extremely short and brief.
I'm sorry. I thought you led the discussion.
No, I try to let everybody else talk before I do. Okay. Thank you. I'm just going to make a couple quick things. The 2020 deal where they're trying to reduce the water by 20% in the year of 2020. That's a state mandate, or is that a state
safe drinking water loan? Covenants that you agreed to when you got state water project water. There is a covenant in the documents that say that you must maintain net revenue, which is your revenue coming in less your O&M expense. That money left over divided by how much money you pay in debt service has to be 1.25 times or greater.
Okay. And these amounts take that into consideration?
Yes, it does. And it's so you need to increase the revenue not only to meet the financial obligations we have here, but to meet that rate covenant requirement that's in the loan documents.
Now, we have so we're out of compliance with our bonds right now, right?
I believe so, but like I said, we have unaudited financial statements, et cetera, but I believe that's the case.
All right. And wasn't there some stipulations within those bonds that if we had deposits with the county that 25% was not required?
It doesn't state that in the June 30th, 2008 audit, so I don't know that. But I do know you're making the $100,000 prepayment penalty, which indicates that at one point or other you may not have paid the full debt service, in which case they called for the $100,000 to be deposited with them.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's probably the case.
Okay. So that's the $100,000 that we had deposited, that we received back, and that we have not redeposited.
Yes.
So then we are leaving us completely out of compliance.
You're paying them $100,000, they use it towards a payment, then you pay it again next year.
Okay.
Pardon my observation, but that's the first time that's ever been explained to me, that the district may have missed the payment so that we're required to prepay $100K?
Like I said, I'm not going to swear to that because I haven't seen the documents. But
it would not surprise me, knowing what I know about past staff activities here.
Okay. Is there ever done a rate study done where we actually look at trying to sell the water that we have to our ratepayers? And, you know, kind of like the other way around, where if you're using it, you you may have pay more, but somehow that we get more water used, and the end result, because the price is a better price, the end result is we have greener lawns, we have the water that we have already available being sold. We keep hearing about these take or pay stuff that everybody's been mentioning here, and we are all aware of it, but I think it's kind of like misnamed. It's really pay whether you take or not contract. So it kind of is, the name of it is a little bit misleading. But is that ever looked at, or is that ever something that can be looked at? And is that something that the board...
Well, in the state of California, you almost never hear of we want to encourage water conservation. Most of the time, you always hear we want to encourage water, we don't want to discourage it. In other states that may have plenty of water resources, it may be a case where we assume that there's growth in actual consumption with prosperity, with growth in income, so that kind of thing. You may hear in the news about we're running a deficit, the nation is running a deficit, and so to make up for that, you're seeing higher users' fees and things like that. The best way to, as you may hear from one political side, is that we need to grow our way out of the deficit, meaning that if we put more people back to work, we had more tax revenue, we would solve the deficit problem. So it's similar to what you're suggesting, that if we sold more water, we get more revenue in, we would solve our problem. So I guess I would suggest, well, under good economic times, you might have economic development where you would have new businesses coming into town, you would have growth in homes and so forth that would encourage more water sales. Given the nature of where you're currently at, the state of the economy, it's not likely that growth is going to occur. So we assume the no-growth scenario for the study until 3 years from now. But even with 8 new homes a year, that's really not much growth. So the way that you're suggesting would be economic growth, which we do not have right now.
Thank you. That's all of my questions. Mary, did you want to make a motion?
Let me move that we take a 10-minute break until 9:25.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Are you going to motion? We're going to take a vote on this?
Doesn't appear that there's a deficit or that there's a shortfall of funds. And actually, they're doing quite well on their reserves. So I was wondering why we continue to study the wastewater rate study and not just the water study.
Okay. Do you want staff to answer that, or?
Well, staff wasn't here at the time, so I would have to ask either Mr. Wallace or Mr. Tuckfield.
Do you want to answer that, address that?
Are you speaking in relation to the district's wastewater fund, district's sewer fund?
Okay, yes. The wastewater's, yeah.
Okay, for the Oceano Community Services District Wastewater Fund. That captures all expenses related to the collection system as it relates to just this community. So you're asking why we need a study done there? They are, in fact, in a deficit mode as well. That was shown in one of my presentation slides where we had a negative cumulative balance going forward. So we're studying that to identify what rates need to be put in place to offset that, as well as take into account this other financial policy guidelines of the district such that we can replace the cash reserve as well as make other changes to the fund itself.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else from the board have anything they want to say? Okay, anything you want to add from the staff?
I would like to speak a little bit in regard to, on the agenda it says item 8A, then it says recommended rate increase. Well, the reason I put that on there is I'm an economist, and we have to have a rate increase for the benefit of the district as far as moving it forward. Okay? I have to ask, for example, since 1997, you know, let's try to think of something that has value that we use every day that the price hasn't gone up.
Our houses.
Well, and I meant like as far as what's referred to as a consumer good. So definitely the rates haven't been raised in a long time. Now, if the board remembers, a few meetings back, I had our engineer, John Wallace, make a presentation in regard to our ability to run more water through our system than we presently do. Well, the reason I did that is the economist in me says, if you haven't raised the rates in 13 years, as Director Dean eloquently says, you sure as heck can't catch up in 4 or 5. Okay? And tonight, if I heard it, I heard it more than once, that we have to think outside the box. Well, I would like us to think outside the stadium. Forget about the box. Okay? So, one thing that would work, now I can't vote, okay? I can only make suggestions. The board can vote. But one thing that'll work is we go back to like years ago, Solomon, we split the baby. We need a rate increase, and we're not happy with the rate increase in front of us. Well, I want to thank Mr. Tuckfield for all his work, but you know, he concentrated on this is what we need to do if the only way to balance or the only way to get the reserves and to pay our bills and to qualify for the bonds is if we do it on the consumption of water. Well, I would, you know, hope that the board would consider two other options. One, we sell more water. For example, presently we're selling 100 acre feet on a temporary basis to our neighbor AG. That's $100,000. Mm-hmm. I would like to be empowered by the board to sell more water to AG, like anywhere between a minimum of an additional 50 acre feet, which would bring in another $50,000, up to another 100 acre feet, which I believe that 50 we could do no problem. But to pump another 100, we might have to pump some water. But that's okay because, as the board brought up, our neighbors are pumping water. Our water table is going to the ocean, and we're not benefiting. And that would give us an opportunity to bring in somewhere between an additional $100,000 to $200,000. Okay? And last but not least, we've started that project already, and for that I want to thank the board. As far as the meters go, if we get to my report at the end of the evening, I'll be able to tell you exactly here because we're raising it so much, 8%, that we wait more than a year. We wait 18 months to raise it again. So then make the next increase not July 1st of 11, but July 1st of 12. Then July 1st of 13, nothing. Then 14, and basically, I don't want to be offensive, take that five-year grid and make it 10. Okay? Sell somewhere between 100 to 200 acre feet of water to AG. Put the new meters in the ground as soon as possible. And I assure you, you know, I got a vote of confidence for a five-year contract, that for the 5 years that I'm here, as long as I know what the projected rates are going to be that I'll make the budget work because I'm an economist. And it's not just about total revenue. We can't forget total cost. Now, we've made some great strides in total cost, but there's still some things we can do. And don't let, you know, the piece that, while I don't like what's being presented as a rate, to vote no. And don't take the, you know, easy way out and say, wow, we can't do that because we don't know what our expenses are. That's not true. July 1st of this year through the end of July, we took in $61,167.95. In August, we took in $339,243.45. And in September, we took in $62,655.81. So we've had a total increase in revenue that's been paid to us because, you know, we do get a little money from the property taxes and other things. But this is just money that we've ran the cash register. Okay, because now there's somebody here that pays attention to the deposits. And you know what? These figures you can match with the bank statement, and they match. So we've had $463,067.21 of revenue come in this fiscal year. And for the next board meeting, I'll have this and more numbers to share with the board as to exactly the key is expenses and revenues. Now, the reason you need to take action today is because we've only had $463,067.21 come into till since July 1st. But to make our obligations, in July, we spent $499,152.30. In August, we spent $168,699.24. And in September, we spent $306,488.30 for a total of $974,339.84. So therefore, the reason I share that is because we can't quote do nothing, because at that rate we're not doing the district's business. Obviously, expenses exceed revenue. I just ask for a chance. Allow me to sell water, take half the increase that our consultant is recommending, and I'll make the budget work. And with that, I'd entertain a motion to...
When it comes to do a motion, I'll entertain the motion. Right now, we're still in discussion.
Well, I had the floor, and I can entertain a motion to consider my statements.
You to accept your statements?
To consider my statements.
Okay. Well, we're still in discussion, and I'd like to continue with that until.
Well,
we go to
I don't want to lose the floor to, you know, reasons to kill the rate increase, because that'd be too easy. Okay. I wouldn't be doing my job. If anything, I'd like to know what's wrong with selling more water, raising the rates half of what we just paid for. We spent almost $30,000 for something, and you can view it as a ticket to the prom.
Okay.
You can't get to the prom without the ticket. I have the proposed 218 information here for our constituents this evening. Okay. And all I ask is board support to move the district forward.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. There was still some more discussion that people wanted. There was before we went into the, before we moved forward with this item. One of the things that came up that needed clarification was how the Tuckfield study was contracted, and that was contracted directly by the board with Tuckfield. It did not go through the Wallace Group at all, and that was with.
So then Steve talked to Mr. Tuckfield. Mr. Tuckfield sent me an amendment. I sent it to the lawyers to make sure that it was okay, and it had a figure of 29,000 some odd hundreds. If I go look in my office, I can find the exact figure. So then I thought, okay, it's not to exceed 30,000. Then I signed the contract, and I moved it forward. And that's exactly how it went.
Okay. And then there was also some questions about, you know, reopen public comment on this item for any additional questions. Anybody have any objection to that?
No.
No objection.
Pardon me?
No objection.
Okay. Any additional questions, comments from the public?
I might be wrong, but I think that if you want to sell water, which is probably a good idea at this point, I think the cheapest way to sell water is to sell our groundwater. It would cost us zero. Just, you know, we got 900 acre feet of groundwater. We're not using any of it or very little of it. And just sell part of our entitlement of the groundwater. It wouldn't cost us a penny.
Well, it costs us $4.75.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson again. I asked a question earlier. I still don't think we have the answer, so I'm going to try to give the answer to why the report went from 7% to 8%. And in the original report that was out on the website, on page 15, which you can look in your, I don't know if you have the old one, but you can look at the new one. Column 5, or the fifth column for year 2015-16, under the first subtotal, there's, you know, the five income numbers, and it comes to 733,800. You see where I'm? Okay, on page 15, the last column up at the top, you have 1 million revenue of 1,594,000, and then there's five numbers right below that. Then you have a subtotal of 733,800. In the first report, you have five numbers below that first number that supposedly the subtotal in the report is 803,500. But when you add those five numbers together that are on the report that was revised, it came to 656,700. Roughly $145,000-$150,000 difference in projected revenue. So what I believe happened was there was going to be a shortfall in revenue in the outlying years because 7%, you know, the flow of 7% through all 5 years, they were going to be short in the outlying years, so the adjustment had to be made in order to get closer to their revenue projections, and the 733 that's in the current report isn't the 803, but it's closer and it's made up in the back years because the year before you're at 8% instead of 7. If you had both reports, you'd see the difference, and if you add those numbers back and forth, you'll see that you meet those revenue projections. But that column was mistotaled. And the difference was 140,000 short in the last year, and I believe that's the reason why. My other comment is you have to look at what the revenue projections are in total. The increase on this chart on page 15, where it says total additional water sales revenue for the 5 years, okay, as you go across. And we just heard the general manager make a suggestion of, you know, maybe not doing an increase 1 year and then skipping a year and then not doing an increase the next year. This isn't something you can decide tonight. You have to sit down with these numbers and figure out what the total dollar revenue you won't be taking in and if that's realistic to be saving. because we're not talking $10,000, $20,000. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I don't believe the district's in the position to be cutting those type of expenses from.
Well, Solstice would love to have. Is something that your engineers should have consulted with Mr. Tuckfield to advise him of this, you know, unique situation. And, you know, the engineer is supposed to convey to your consultants as to what the situation is in this particular community, and it doesn't sound like that was done. And I have to agree with Richard is that, you know, I know you need the money, mm-hmm. but you just can't jump into this. Let's say, okay, let's adopt what Mr. Tuckfield's proposed today, and then you're going to have to revisit this maybe in a year or so and realize that you make people pay more for water, they're going to consume less, and I think your consumption levels are going to drop and your revenue levels are going to drop as well. So it's really a concern. And another thing, selling water to Royal Grande or try to sell them more water, I think everywhere else in this county wants to conserve water. So with the speculation that they're going to want more water when they're actually under the duress of actually trying to conserve water, I don't think that's really an idea that you should consider.
Thank you. Anyone else like to have any questions, have any comments? Okay, bring me back to the board. We have this listed on our agenda as a discussion item. We haven't notified the public that we're making any decisions tonight, that we are voting on anything. We just have a discussion down on the agenda. And I don't think we legally can make a decision tonight on this.
I assure you can make a decision on this evening. Because under discussion it says recommend rate increase. And if you read the Tribune piece that I put on your desk that it came today, it actually says in the ad that we ran and what would happen. And that's why the ad is here. And I've even prepared in case the public would like the ad refers to the 218 process to raise them, and guess what? I've got those right here as well.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't want to make a decision, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But I assure you, you can make one. It's been duly authorized. It's been duly posted. We've had the legal notice. We had the public hearing, and we're prepared to move forward.
Okay. Well, I don't think the ad in the newspaper trumps what has been published as the agenda for the evening. That is a discussion about recommended rate increases and a discussion on the on this report. So I don't think that because of the way the agenda is put out, listing this as a discussion, that this can actually come to a vote. I mean, I think we're going to, there's some laws violated here if we do that. So anyway, any other comments from anybody on the board? Okay, then moving on to item 8B.
Right here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, we're going to reopen public comment.
I kind of like Mr. Raphael's suggestion, and I might ask you to consider and put Mr. Tuckfield on hold and consider and have this on the next meeting, on the next agenda. Thank you. And have
you
a meeting and talk it over and thrash it out and see if his is better or if the money guy over here is better. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Since we're reopening public comment, anyone else in the public? Okay. Coming back to the board, moving on to item number 8. Are we back? Still want more discussion on item 8A?
No, we want some direction.
Well, we can bring it back for whatever the board's pleasure is.
Well, we just spent $29,000, so I think we should discuss it, regurgitate it, shape it, how it's going to work. But, you know, don't just file it.
Well, we're not filing it. We can bring it back.
You have to have something. You have to do a follow-up.
Right.
Yeah.
So. You can't just move on to the next agenda item. Are you putting it on the agenda? Are you calling another meeting that's the community? What, I mean, some direction, Vern.
Okay, well, I was going to leave it up to staff to decide how they wanted to come back to do that. But okay, if the board wants to make that decision, then that's a board decision. It's not my decision. What would the board like to do? We want to bring it. You want to discuss it more? I asked if there was any more discussion. We want to discuss it more. And tonight, or you want to bring it back for another meeting?
Well, what I would like to see happen is another meeting be set up and this strictly be discussed.
Okay, you want a
special
meeting?
Like a committee of the whole, the way we did the budget?
The public. The public's now will get to see the tapes, yeah. that it's up for discussion.
And that's what we need to do at the next committee of the whole. So I would suggest we do that the following week or something, as soon as possible.
Okay.
How does Monday look?
Is there any objections from the board looking at this by anybody for this? Okay. So
looking at what?
Having a committee of the whole meeting next Monday or later on in this week.
It's very difficult for me to get time during the power plant outage.
Okay. So, so what would you like to see?
Are you Fridays available?
No.
Okay. Well, any suggestions, Tim?
I suppose if it's like a 7 o'clock on some evening, I could probably do that if it didn't go too long.
Well, next Wednesday is also a sanitation plant meeting.
So would you say Monday after 7? Would that work with you, for you?
Even Wednesday after the Sand District could be probably better.
Wednesday after the Sand District?
7:30 then. Or
is there a big agenda? Big agenda for the next meeting. So say 7:30. 7:30 next Wednesday. What about staff? Is that enough time for you to prepare?
Well, I don't know what they want me to prepare, but I can definitely be here for a meeting on the 20th.
Let me ask. Can we have staff go ahead in between now and have them go out and check and talk to Leg Randy and the people that may be interested in buying water and get a feel for what is possible from them or whomever and see if you can kind of put together.
Sure, we can do that.
Some information as far as if they're receptive to something like that.
And Raphael, also too, is if we could have a little bit closer numbers to how much excessive water we do have.
I can ask. That's an engineering question.
I know it's always even a guesstimate.
Okay, I'll attempt to.
Because it's looking at all our options.
All of them. Yeah.
Well, that was, one of the reasons why I was so interested in selling water, because the economist in me says it's terrible to ask your constituents to pay more when you pay for state water that we don't use. I mean, that's not brain surgery.
And I agree, but I think there are other options besides just selling water. It's like looking at the bigger picture.
Could I have a bake sale?
Okay, so does Wednesday after the next next Wednesday after the sanitation plant meeting here, 7:30, work for everybody?
Yes.
Is that the 20th?
That would be the 20th. October 20th, 7:30 at the board. Here at the boardroom.
Does that work for you, Director Hill?
Yeah, I can do that.
Thank you.
And the public is invited.
Okay.
So we could let everybody know
at this meeting and at the end of this meeting that next Wednesday, 7:30 p.m., discussion in depth of the rate study and hashing it out. And we need the public input.
Okay. Any specific directions you want staff to provide or have or do between now and the meeting?
I'd like to know more about the budget, where we stand right now with our quarterly budget. I'd like to also see your proposal in black and white to see how much that would adjust and if it would cover what we need to cover, including the water sales. So that's a lot on your plate, but hopefully we can see that.
The budget report I was going to bring to the board at the next regularly scheduled board meeting, which is the 27th, because some of the information, you know, we don't have yet. We just mailed them today. We had to do the 941 forms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we try to do stuff without incurring any fees or penalties. So I figured, well, the next...
So we have a vision of where we want to go, but I don't know whether to take the interstate or some back road or what. I can't figure out how to get there unless I know where I'm at. So that's the first thing I want to know. Then I want to know... perhaps Mr. Tuckfield could help us with that question and what the difference is if you raise your fixed charges vice your consumption charges. And then I think we need to look at, by my rough back of the envelope calculation, we've probably gone $300,000 a year into the hole over the last 2 to 3, maybe even longer than that, years. And I think we've reduced the bleeding down to about $150,000 a year, plus or minus, again, based on my just back-of-the-envelope calculations. So if you can sell $100,000 worth of water, maybe you need to raise the rates $50,000. But those are the kind of discussions that I want to see going forward, to know what the options are in terms of outside water sales vice, you know, what we need to look at, if anything, on rate increases. And I would tend to favor, if it had to be a rate increase, a fixed charge vice a consumption-based charge, considering our situation.
I would also like to see a fixed charge. I'd also like to see that those households that are serving more than one household with one meter each get a fixed charge, and I think we know which households those are. They're getting a free ride, essentially, on the rest of the ratepayers.
Okay, anybody else? Any requests for the general manager as far as, or the any staff as far as for this meeting on Wednesday? Okay, I'm going to reopen public comment.
You know, there's certain criteria you have to meet before you can raise the rate. Are you going to be able to meet those criteria before Wednesday? Because, you know, that's going to, you know, if you get real, that's going to be part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't do that Wednesday because you haven't properly notified it or done whatever you need to do, you know, you're wasting the meeting. So, I mean, I don't know who, I don't know what it is. You got to put it in the paper for so many days or whatever the case may be. And also, you know, I guess I owe John Wallace an apology. Because I didn't realize they put the board put the engineering out to bid, but I think we should have twisted his arm and made him match the bid if he's going to be our engineer. So that's my thoughts on that. And But, you know, you need to make sure you can, on a special meeting, you're going to, it's going to cost you $400.
Doesn't cost anything.
No?
Those, none.
Oh, that's right. You changed that. Good.
No.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. But if it's posted properly, then you can you could do what needs to be done. Right. Sell water, sell some water and raise the rates a little bit and somehow come to, you know, the point to where you're not in the red. Mm-hmm. Because every day you go in the red is just that much more you have to raise.
And, time is of the essence.
And, you know, Pamela's comment about, you know, the free ride, I guess the theory there is, you know, make it up in the water usage. And it's kind of unfair to the guy who built a... I don't have any, so, you know, I mean, I don't have any units or anything, so I don't have a conflict there. But I know when I was doing some building back in the good days when things sold, you know, well, that was all calculated in when we it's all plumbed together. So that's my input.
I think one answer to that would be that if all of the fixed charges are based on the equivalent single-family residence, then that means that every single-family residence is paying the same. So hopefully that would equate that out.
Also, this meeting for this coming Wednesday night, this is a discussion again. Not an actual action meeting. So we're going to discuss a plan of action and then bring it to a regular board meeting to vote on. Is that my understanding? Is that what everybody else's understanding is as well?
I think you should combine it. If we have what we need, we should keep on.
And I think we can't just impose a rate increase in any event, but what we could do is set a process in motion, which includes the 218 consideration and all of that, toward a hopefully better informed understanding of the revenue needs.
Okay.
Thank you. Keith Swanson again. My question is regarding Mr. Tuckfield's contract now. Has he met his contractual obligation? Is he done, or is he going to be coming back with proposals for additional options, taking feedback from what you've heard from the public and the board, and participate in this next meeting? You know, I just think, you know, if you're going to be adopting a rate structure, that you have to hammer that first, and then once that's vetted out. That's why I'm surprised there wasn't a committee or something like that that could have reviewed this and taken a look at it in steps so that you could have avoided this issue now. But I'm just, as a consultant, I would have expected him to say, look, I've heard what you had to say. Here's what I'll do for you. You know, these are the things that I will come to you at the next meeting for, and that would be my expectation.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, back to the board. Anything anyone has to say at this point before we move on?
Does the consultant plan on participating? Mr. Wallace, or somebody up there. Sorry. Sorry to get late, but we're all tired.
My discussions with the Wallace group, my companion next to me, my scope of work has been completed with the presentation this evening. So if there is additional scope of work, that would be up to the board's decision.
Okay, so this is your final. This is it. It's not a draft then. Because I have draft written on this, so
that is a draft report. We take the public comment. I receive the comments from the board and as directed, I modify and make the changes we've discussed, and at that point I present a final report.
Okay. Well, the board is actually meeting Wednesday, and the public, and there will be more recommendations. So are you saying that you're not going to include the recommendations of the board in the report?
I'm saying that's not part of the scope of work I was hired to do. If there's additional scope of work, you know, if you're back to the blank check that he was talking about, I mean, am I just supposed to do this on a continuation basis? And
can I ask for a copy of the scope of work, please?
I'll attempt to find the contract and get you a copy.
Thank you.
You mentioned that that part of your scope of work was to come to this meeting, take input from us, and go back and make adjustments, and then come with a final report?
That's correct.
Okay. So those adjustments, those comments, those adjustments that you're going to take from us at this meeting, can those comments, adjustments be given to you in written form from another meeting as well after this before you pronounce your
Yeah, I would prefer they be in a written form. They would probably go to Mr. Raphael and then probably would go to Steve Tanaka, I would imagine, and then I would eventually get those comments. I would then use the report, address the comments, and provide a final report.
Okay. Thank you.
That's fine.
Anyone else have anything to they want to add or want to say?
Thank you, everyone, for participating in the discussion. Thank you, Mr. Tuckfield, for the report.
Yes, thank you. Thanks to all of you in the audience.
Yes.
Mr. Tuckfield, thank you, gentlemen, that came from Los Osos, and appreciate everybody's input. Okay, we are on to item number 8B.
Just let staff know, and if not, we'll do whatever the board wants.
Okay, discussion? Questions?
It seems to me our past audit or our past accounting practices were unusual at best, and I realize that we have two annual audits that are behind. It would seem to me that perhaps, first of all, the time to start proceeding with the next audit is not only now, but it should have already been happening. Both of these audits should have been completed by now. If the auditor could, in the process of doing the audit for 08-09 and see what our amount of money that we actually billed out, how much we collected, and how much ended up in the bank, I think that might solve both issues.
We can do that.
Okay. Any other discussion on this?
I had a question. What did we pay Glenn Burdett Phillips? You said we got a $1,000 discount. Oh,
I mentioned it at the last meeting. I don't remember exactly, but the bill was like $9,000-some-odd, and then they gave us a $1,000 discount, so we paid $8,000-some-odd.
Okay.
Okay. Any additional comments from the board on this? Any public comment on this item? Hearing none, bring it back to the board. Moving on to item number 8C.
Item number 8C is a consultant agreement between our Oceano Community Service District and GEI Consultant. We're recommending approval, and one would ask, well, you know, why are we doing this? In the past, the board has seen bills that we've paid long before I came to a consultant that was called Todd, T-O-D-D, Engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd Engineering in the past has provided us with
information for water quality, a quarterly report, groundwater monitoring. They've done a very, you know, good job for us in the past. Well, what they've done now is Todd's engineering contract expired, and they interviewed other consultants, and they got an RFP, and I'm glad to say that's why I'm recommending approval, that this consultant is going to be like 79 and the other one was 100. It's like 20% savings, so it's going to be less money. And then basically as we move forward, instead of seeing checks to Todd Engineering, you'll see checks to GEI, and the amount won't change. Like presently, when we get one of those bills, it's presented to the board, and it shows, because this is for the what they used to refer to as the old gentleman agreement. Now it's the Northern Cities Management Association. Well, then it's based on consumption, and you'll see in the bill so much for AG, so much for Grover, so much for Pismo, and ours is the least amount.
So we're splitting it four ways?
Yes. Okay. So the only thing is it's just a new contract with a new consultant, and we will no longer be having the services of Todd Engineering, plus the last email I saw as part of the end of Todd Engineering's contract, there also any information or stuff that they have that relates to us, they're going to forward to us, so we'll have it. And I would recommend board approval and ask that I have a copy of the contract here. You've seen it in your agenda. The lawyer has seen it. They went back and forth. We're one of the last people to sign the contract because our attorney wanted to see like a scope of work, and on the previous attachment A wasn't there. So when you look at like your agenda for this evening, you'll see there's like an 8C and then there's another piece. Well, the other piece was the last thing that was added, and that is the attachment A, and the attorney said that it's okay.
Okay.
That concludes my report.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions, comments from the board?
So this is considered that they'll be able to provide us the services that we need.
Okay, and if all of the other, it seems to me that this would be a fairly simple thing that I could support, given that that our fellow jurisdictions concur.
Okay, anyone else have any questions, comments on this item?
Are they located in Massachusetts?
I honestly don't know. I'll ask John. John might know. John, do you know where GEI is from?
They have many offices across the United States. I think this one is out of Los Angeles.
Glendale, I think, is where it is. I noticed that.
Because it says a Massachusetts corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Water is very different in Massachusetts than it is here. And it'll be, and so it's going to be overseen by the Wallace Group. This, well, then maybe I'm reading the wrong one. Is that not what that says? District.
Yes, yeah.
Mr. Wallace of the Wallace Group, California Corporation, or whoever else is designated by the district. So, is that how it works? I just need some clarification. Just down and dirty answer here.
Like I said, it's...
Are we going to place this consultant over into the sand district?
No.
To test the water samples?
No. What we're going to do with this consultant is we're going to replace the present scope of work that, as Director Hill said, in the past, it's gone back to the groundwater litigation, which was Todd Engineering, and mm-hmm. this scope of work will now be done by this new group, GEI. And like I said, I was only excited about it because the total cost was less. So anytime I see less money, I get excited.
You didn't get to see any other applicants or anything on this? We decided this.
They... they put together a group of people, you know, to screen, and I believe that the members were Dwayne Chisholm from Pismo served on the committee.
Yeah, they were listed in our Q&A.
There was two other ones, but, you know, I have it in my notes, but memory doesn't serve me. But they had, I believe, Mr. Gehring from Gehring Taylor was part of the screening committee. It was people that were very familiar with this whole brown water litigation piece that's gone on for years. And we believe that GEI Consultant will take care of our needs. And
well, I guess my question would be, is that, is this change our agreement with the Wallace Group, since is this scope of work already built into your scope of work overseeing this contract? Is it already built into yours with us in the northern cities? Because the responsibilities are going to surely go on to you. No, and which you're used to that because you've dealt with Todd. I know it's just mechanics.
Director Lucy, I'm not sure what you're looking at. I haven't seen that.
Contract coordination. That's all. I just don't want to put more on if it's not there already. If it's already in your scope from the past consultant, then we can just move forward. But it's saying that you're going to coordinate this.
This is the first time I've seen this. So, but anyhow,
I've been shot only four times tonight, so you know.
I think what this is directed at is that Raphael and I do sit on the Northern Cities Management group of agencies, and we do both of us go to these meetings to coordinate the groundwater issues for the district. As I've come back to your board and tried to explain what's happening with the groundwater pumping and how that's allocation is going on with seawater intrusion. So I didn't know that they had put us in here, but I think what it really means is that for all the agencies, they're indicating that their engineer or their manager would be helping to coordinate, and that's all that it's intended to be. It's not under our contract. It's not under our company at all. It's just that it's under our services to assist Raphael in advising the board.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the straight answer. What?
Okay. Anybody else have any questions?
I have a couple.
Okay.
On this, they are including the salt water intrusion as part of
that's part of the
sampling, correct?
That's part of, like, what?
Well, I'm glad to see that it is 20% cheaper.
We need
those kinds of things to be happening because this is a big, big cost to the district, and it has been, this Northern Cities Management Agency area.
Okay, anyone else? Public comment on item 8C? Okay, hearing none, bring it back to the board.
Move approval of the consultant agreement between Oceana Community Services District and GEI Consultant for the staff recommendation.
I'd second that.
Okay, a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Can we get a, if everybody mind, we get a, like a 5-minute break?
Great.
Can I request to have a 5-minute break?
Yeah,
well, I need a second.
Who's first? Of
course. Aye.
Okay. Carries 5-0. Okay. Thank you. Sure.
Or actually, maybe a motion.
All right.
Is that due to the time and what's left on the agenda that we handle? Mr. Wallace has been sitting here all night. That we handle that business under the utility items. We handle 9A and table table 10. Unless somebody has something burning they want to talk about, and table 9, and table the rest.
Okay, keep in 12.
And of course, if the director has anything quickly,
12.
I'm
and
just
14.
Looking at the time and.
Okay, I'm going to keep in 12 and 14.
Oh, I forgot that page.
Which one?
Yeah, 9A.
And what about 9B?
Is this the second one that's for here? Oh, that's
9B. You want to keep that one in?
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care.
Okay, so you want to?
Keep 9A, B.
Okay, so what you want to table is. Is 10, we're going to table 10, 11, 13, and 15. Correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And keep public comment.
Yeah, that's 12.
Okay.
Okay, so you want to table, again, the motion is to table 10, 11, 13, and 15.
And 8E. Aren't we tabling 8E?
And
yeah, 80, correct.
You can table 80 real easy.
Okay.
And we handled C already. Okay.
Okay. So we're so your motion is to table 8E, table 10, table number 11, table number 13, and table number 15. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. I have motion to table.
No, I second.
And seconded by Director Dean. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried 5-0. Okay, so this takes us on to...
Hopefully that we can bring those back at the next regularly scheduled meeting.
Yeah. Yeah,
allowed rather than table it indefinitely.
Yeah, it's not tabled is that the understanding? Of
yes.
The,
yes.
That's the understanding
that's
of the board.
That's the understanding.
No problem.
Okay. All right.
Item 8D is in David, a discussion, the sanitation district management of district, discussion of recent events, activities, and possible changes. I put that on the agenda, and then Friday I received an email from Mr. Wallace, but the agenda had gone out already. So concludes my report.
Okay, are there any, I guess at this point we'd hear the remainder of the staff report from our district administrator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, John Wallace. Sorry about that. I'm here to answer questions, basically, and perhaps to make a brief presentation. I also have with me tonight Mr. Bill Nichols. Bill is a mayor pro tem from Grover Beach, and he is one of the members of our board of directors. Just to give you a very brief background of the district, maybe you know, was formed back in 1963, 47 years ago. And that was because everybody was on septic systems at the time. Roy Grandy had a little bit of a sewer farm, a community septic system, actually in the city of Grover Beach at the time, or Grover City. And that called for, because the nitrate contamination of the groundwater, kind of like some things that are happening in Los Osos, that called for the implementation of a sanitation district. The plant was built in 1965. It was built to 2.5 million gallons a day capacity for $2.5 million, which was a very reasonable price at that time, about $1 a gallon for its capacity. In 1978, you had a new outfall line put in because the old one washed out, and the old one was only 1,000 feet long. The new outfall line put in was 4,000 feet long, going out into the ocean, quite a bit further than the old one. In 1979, you had another expansion with sludge beds and a new thickener tank out there, a large tank. And then in 86, you had a major expansion. And I'm going through this quickly just to give you a little bit of perspective on what you have there, because you have approximately $20 million worth of investment in that plant. In 86, there was a major expansion where you redid and constructed a big final clarifier, as well as the biggest tank out there called the fixed film reactor. And that boosted the capacity to 3.3 million gallons at that time. Grover was a contract agency for quite a while. But in, I believe, 92, they annexed into the district as a full partner. And they paid their entry fee, by the way. They paid past capital costs as their share of coming into the district. So now we're all equal in terms of sharing the capacity. It's not distributed into any particular agency. All the agencies share the capacity in the plant. In 1990, we added a second digester, which is another large tank out there, and a second primary clarifier. That boosted the capacity finally to 5 million gallons a day, which is going to be enough for our build-out of our entities here, which is slated to be about 54,000 or 55,000 people ultimately. So we do have enough capacity for build-out. In 2005, he built, because of the new requirements from the Water Board, we built a large chlorine contact tank, which is a disinfection system, which disinfects the water before it goes out into the ocean. And that was about a $2.5 million project just by itself. So you can see from 2005 to the original 1965 or so, the prices had gone up. And then this year, in 2010, we've purchased a new centrifuge machine, which is what is used for processing the solids at the plant. The old one had actually been a food processing centrifuge that we had bought used from Bird Manufacturing. But it finally gave out, and so we have a new centrifuge, and we're in the process, under construction as we speak, of building the new building that goes around that centrifuge equipment. And it's about all together with the centrifuge as well as the building, it's about a $2 million project. So you can see over the years you've put a lot of money into the district, and we've accomplished quite a bit of expansion, enough to serve the agencies and make sure that we provide that capacity for you. In terms of rates, rates have been low for a long time. And the rates were not raised for about 20 years while the district was in the expansion mode. The fact is, there was a Citizens Advisory Committee. You had passed a bond issue program that was on the books. In fact is, we could have started calling those bonds and building things with that bond money. We put together a Citizens Advisory Committee. It was made up of members from your community as well as other communities. We sat down, we projected cash flow, we figured out that we could go on a pay-as-you-go program and not do the bond issue program, and we did that, and that will also allow us to go into water recycling at some point, too, at a future time. And we've taken a tour up at the Monterey Regional plant up in Monterey and have looked at their program. Our farmers from this area went with us, talked farmer to farmer to get a better idea about how they utilize the recycled water up there for their crops, and our guys are pretty excited about it. And so we expect at some point in time that we will have that water available to go to agriculture. Just a brief comment about our budget. Our budget's about a $3 million a year budget, and we're in a positive budget this year. In other words, we have a little bit of positive cash left over.
One of the major things that we do at the plant is we have to use chemicals for disinfection, for other processes, and so forth. And the chemical costs are about $500,000 a year. Actually, there were about $550,000 last year, and we're looking to reduce that. That kind of leads me to where we're going on the next cost-saving issues here. And I've handed out to Raphael those cost-saving documents that we had talked about. And as you know, during our budget session back in June and July of this year, the board directed us, because of the cash flow requirements for the long-range plan, said, we've got to find some money to save. So we looked at everything. Looked at the chemical costs, we looked at admin costs, and we looked at some of the testing costs that we had in-house. We found that we could save $75,000 by going out to a contract laboratory with our laboratory services, which the board decided to do that back in September here. We also have renegotiated our chemical costs, and with the new prices, it looks to be that we can save $140,000 to $150,000 a year on our chemical costs, which is great. And at the same time, our chemical cost is going down because we're fine-tuning the process out there, and the chemical usage is going down from about 1,100 pounds per day down to about 600 to 800 pounds per day. So that's good. We also we had a volunteer at the district office. The bookkeeper secretary has volunteered to want to go on to a half-time position at the first of the year. That would save another $50,000 in terms of fringe benefits as well as salary. And we're targeting administrative, legal fees, and engineering fees. We're targeting a 20% reduction of those fees. So, again, we hope to come up with about $250,000 to $300,000 worth of savings altogether from where we were. Finally, because we do have a lot of projects that we're looking at, and actually are in the budget this year, we're delaying some of those projects that are not critical in order to save the engineering and processing and construction costs of those projects as well. Some of the projects that we're working on, we've had a new grinder system out there. We've updated our GIS system. We recently had a visit from the state. They found some deficiencies in our record keeping. We're updating our O&M manual. We had already budgeted for that. We were already underway, but now they have kicked up the schedule on that. We'll be completing that by November 1. One of the major things that we did recently was install a cogeneration plant there, and I think some of you have been on tour to see that facility. That takes the waste gas that was burned off before, puts it through an engine which turns a generator and generates about 75% of our power that's consumed in the plant. Ultimately, will save us about $114,000 a year. Right now, because we did a lease purchase on it for 6 years, we're paying that lease purchase with the power savings. But in 6 years, we'll be having that as a total income to us at about $114,000 a year, free and clear. As I said, we're doing the new centrifuge building. We're looked at electrical system upgrades because, as you know, with the plant being as old as it is, some of the older electrical system there has corroded and is dangerous, so we're replacing some of that. Our influent gate structure, we're replacing some of that work that was the original part of the plant. With the age being almost 50 years old, these things do need replacing. And finally, we're doing a work for your agency as well as Roy Grandy and Grover for reimbursable cost, where our staff is looking at the fats, oil, and grease program and inspection programs to restaurants and so forth. But that is being reimbursed to the district for those costs. How do you design your sampling methodologies so that you are sure that you're capturing a representativeness sampling of the plant? And we have different interpretations about the requirements, the waste discharge requirements, and how you do that. But nonetheless, with the visit from the state offices, they have asked us to do what we call a characterization study, which we're doing. And in doing that, we are proving out, if you will, that the sampling methodologies that we are proposing will meet their needs as well as continue to protect the environment and our constituents. We've only had two violations in our history so far in terms of being fined. Most plants, Pismo, San Luis, have had many thousands of dollars of fines. We're proud of that record. We've had operational issues that I think some of the board knows about, and we're addressing those. And so we welcome that visit from the state, and so we have revised and implemented different testing methodologies.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else have any questions?
The redundancy items, in my view, it's important they have redundancy so that you can, and I know you share the concern that major pieces of equipment can be, if they have to be taken out of service for a block of time for repair or whatever, the process doesn't stop. It has to go on.
Correct.
24 hours a day. And with the original plant design, if some of those major pieces of equipment were taken out of service, as you mentioned, would be automatically in violation of the discharge requirements.
Correct.
And so are we still on track to get those projects completed as soon as possible such that we don't I really hate to spend money on fines. That just I would much rather spend some money proactively preventing spills and noncompliances than I would paying fines.
You have two kind of levels of redundancy. You have the normal redundancy that you use for making sure that you have a replacement motor in storage so that if a critical motor on a pump quits, then you can quickly install that motor. Then the other mega redundancy is having a parallel process with the plant. And most plants don't have such a that type of redundancy, but that's a long-range plan and what we did. Kennedy Jenks is the consultant that has designed the plant forever and done the major projects out there. We had them do a long-range plan, which we presented to our board and to some of the communities. And because it's expensive, it's $7 to $8 million for that for those projects. We had a peer review by Corolla. Corolla came back and concluded that the Kennedy Jenks proposal was the least expensive. They gave us some other alternatives to look at in case we were wanted to go to complete tertiary treatment for distributing reclaimed water throughout the whole area. But long story short, we've processed the environmental documents for the long-range plan as presented by Kennedy Jenks. That's been approved by the board, and it's been advertised and so forth. And now we're going through the permitting process, both with the state and the Coastal Commission.
Thank you.
Thank you. Director Henschel, do you have any questions? No. Director Lucy? Okay. Any public comment? All right. Thank you. The only thing that I just wanted to add is that when we do the redundancy, if we are out of compliance, that's what initiates the fines from the state, and those are on a daily basis. Is that correct?
The law is extreme. It's $10,000 a day. But more often than not, for what we call more minor violations, it's like a $3,000 fine. What happened in the year 2000, a new law was passed called the Migden Law, where the regional board doesn't have discretion. They have to assess a minimum penalty fine. So if you violate in that sense, they will issue a fine that they really can't do anything about.
Okay. Thank you. All right. That concludes item number 8D, unless somebody else has anything else to add. Okay, taking us on to item 9A, cleaning inspection of the district.
Of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors concerning the cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines as a result of the San Simeon earthquake.
Do you have a motion? Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Vice President Dean?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Reluctantly, yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Takes us on to item number 9B. Fee letter for People's Self-Health Housing Corporation.
I have to recuse myself. We have property that's very close to this project.
Okay. Thank you.
Item 9B is a request for a fee letter from the Self House Housing Corp for OCSD number 636.00. It's a six-unit subdivision that's at 1500 Paso Robles, and there's two APN numbers. One APN number is 062082001. And the other APN number is 0620820002. We sat down with the staff from the water department in the fee letter that's presented before you. Item 1013 is our recommendation. We used the logic that the board, when we discussed those fees that we had that really weren't voted on but were. So what we did here is, because it's self-help, there's basically how it lays out is there's six, three on one side facing one way and three on the back side facing the other way. So there are going to be six individual units, and they're asking for one-inch water meters. So we only used the cost of the meter, but for single-family development, because it was individual housing, we didn't take that large number that in the past was associated with the one-inch meter that makes it cost prohibitive. And we added the minimum front footage fee, because it'll be a minimum the way the three properties sit on the lot. Neither one of them is past the 40 feet. So we suspect that the total cost will be $10,786.52. We put that before you. It says total estimated water and sewer fees, so that if we find out that there is anything else, we'll bring it to the board. And we only prepared one document, but we're saying in the left-hand corner that this is the estimate for each unit. So we would recommend approval. Earlier this evening, there was a lady here, and we spoke, and you know, she asked when we would have a response, and I told her that if we got to it on the agenda today, the board could decide, and show she's coming to the office tomorrow to find out what happened. That concludes our report.
Okay. Any questions, comments from the board?
So just to clarify, normally these would take, historically they would have taken a 5/8 meter, and we're allowing a 1-inch meter at effectively the 5/8 equivalent charge for fire suppression purposes of the sprinklers. Is that right?
Yes. And the only difference is the actual cost of 5/8 inch meter is less than the $1,350 that's on this estimate.
I have a question. She's asking for a will serve letter also, and I don't see that attached, or at least the letter asks for that. Does she already have that? Request for will serve letter.
Well, if I'd have to look into that. I thought that they had a will serve letter, and they were looking for
a fee letter.
Okay, because I guess they need to know what the fees will be, but it looks like she's requesting a Wilson letter. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, we'll look in the file and find out as to whether or not. But her comment to me this evening was as to when it was going to be approved, because they need to take it to the county for permits.
That means a will serve letter.
I don't know, but I thought that it was a will serve letter and they were looking for a fee letter.
Go ahead with what they need to do at the county. They need that before they can get a permit from the county. And I don't want to mess up their schedule.
Okay.
Because I'm satisfied with the fee letter, and the will serve letter is, you know, is something they'll need, and it's a general standard situation.
Yeah, are we requiring now to approve both fee letters and will serve letters, or do we
do the fee letter first. Normally we do the will serve letter first, and then the fee letter. But you know, it was my understanding. And what we were asked was that they wanted a fee letter. Now, what I see here is that, no, they want a will serve letter.
Mm-hmm.
So we prepared a fee letter.
Yeah. What they need and ask for is a will serve letter and to know when they would need to pay fees.
Well, after public comment, I'm prepared to move that we issue a will serve letter for the district standard policies. And then...
Okay.
Yeah, I think we should go ahead and do that. A will serve letter according to our standard policy.
And bring it back at the next meeting?
I don't think we need to see it. I think that the fees are sufficient, and you can just tell them that they don't need to pay the fees until occupancy.
Well, I'm sure they'll appreciate that because they were concerned about when the board was going to make a decision. But I still am a bit concerned as to why our request was for a fee letter, and we believe that the request is really for a will serve letter.
Okay.
But I thought it was for a fee letter, and that's what we prepared.
It could go in our Friday report.
Okay. We'll take care of it tomorrow. We'll issue the will serve letter, and we'll include a copy in the Friday report, and then we'll give them the fee letter, so they'll know what the expected fees are.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, any other comments or questions before we go to public comment? Okay, public comment.
I happen to be familiar. I don't know the people or anything, but I do own the property right next to it, and they've got curb and gutter. You know, it's already, like, subdivided, so I'm sure they've already got it. A will serve letter, and it's probably an error on their part. They're probably asking for a fee letter.
Well, they'll have
because it's, you know, it's
whatever they need. Yeah. Just get
I'll look into it. But how it was presented to me was, we need a fee letter because I got involved in the piece that for the different size meter, okay, for the 1 inch instead of the 5/8. But we'll look into it tomorrow and make sure if they need a fee letter, they'll get a fee letter. If they need a will serve letter, they'll get a will serve letter. If we send them a will serve letter, I'll include a copy in Friday's Week of Glance so that the board will see it. The board has already seen the fee letter.
Okay.
That concludes our report.
Okay, any other public comment? Okay. Bring it back to the board. Anything before we move on? Okay. This takes us to item number 12, public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board at this time? Okay, hearing none. Item takes us to item number 13, board member items for, I'm sorry, item number 14, board member items for the next board meeting agenda. Okay, hearing
besides
none.
Besides the items that we've delayed. I'd also like to formally consider revising our rate structure for the allowance, for example, a 1-inch meter instead of the 5/8. to change our minimum charge to include the one-inch meter so that we can allow fire sprinklers to be installed without charging the capacity fee that goes with it.
Okay. Get that?
That doesn't make sense. Okay.
Okay, can you just get with him afterwards?
And I'll do that.
You? Okay.
Also, the quarterly budget report you said you would have.
No, that I would have for the next board meeting.
And then an update on the new accounting system, if you could, to see where we are.
An audit schedule. It's kind of like making a Christmas list.
And an audit schedule. Oh, yes.
Okay, anyone else? Okay. I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Okay.